News for Gamers, Internet's Now radio program proudly presents...
The M4G Podcast!
Every week you're tuning in, listening to us ramble on about the latest in gaming news. And without further ado, let us introduce you to Zero Tolerance, Gambit's Con. Give Pepper Wombat to a special guest or two if we are nice enough to let them on our podcast, the N4G Podcast.
Yeah, that's cool.
We should have a cluck off.
That's terrible. Hey, man, shut the cluck off.
Welcome to another week of News for Gamers Podcast Radio for the week of July 7th. 2008.
Why you just sound so excited? What, did you not go to sleep last night?
No, I went to sleep last night. It has nothing to do with that.
Welcome to News for Gamers Podcast
Doing my Stephen Wright impression. Welcome to News for Gamers Podcast. Well, this episode started off fantabulous.
Yeah.
Off the rails already.
He doesn't make a whole sound most of the episode, and the only one he makes is a freaking belch. Good job, Killer.
You got that in before the 30-second mark.
It's the glasses. Yes.
It must be the glasses.
This is K. Billy's super sound of the 70s.
Welcome back to News for Gamers Podcast Radio.
Welcome back to. I'm about to fall off this thing I'm sitting on.
In the studio today, we have Gambus Khan.
Hi there, everybody. How's it going out there in internet land?
Ville.
Yeah. Bill.
Was this podcast running on dial up? What's up with the last talk?
We're coming up on.
Also in the studio, we have the Wombat. Run Wombold.
Hi there. And welcome to News for Gamers Internet Podcast Radio. Sitting immediately to my left is the man who never speaks with his brand new glasses, Killer Wolverine.
Welcome.
Hello.
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 Hola.
Hola.
¿Cómo está?
I leave for a little over a month, and you guys go completely insane. Congratulations.
Yeah, we've been on a steady descent ever since episode 3.
Of course, I'd go crazy if I had to watch a two-hour end. Okay, I'm not even going to go.
Also with us, we have the jaded and bitter Brian the Boogeyman Peterson is back.
What up, yo?
He's been out playing.
Hey. With himself.
J-j-jaded.
Indeed. I've been out working. And stuff.
Everybody's stuff. Working for the weekend.
Yes.
You know
indeed.
That?
Not everyone.
No.
It's because you ain't working, period.
Indeed.
Indeed. Indeed. Shallow and pedantic.
Indubitably.
We got some fondling to get to, so let's get to that, because we also have some Metal Gear to get to, and we have some news, and we have some questions, so
Liquid. Otacon. Metal Gear.
Here we go with the Metal Gear Tourette's again.
Yeah. Thank you for two... Within the first 10 minutes.
Hey, that was Drebin.
All right, so we'll start with the guy who's been gone for a long time. We'll start with the Boogeyman.
Oh, wow.
You ain't got something to talk about.
Yeah, I got lots to talk about this week.
Let's
got off my tour of the Isle of Wight with the Feast of the Dead.
Right. Yeah. You were touring with the Gimmies?
Yes. Because, yeah, and all the touring they do.
Neither one of you tour, so there you go.
You were touring your palatial Middletown estate.
Yeah.
From bathroom to kitchen. Or
sometimes
maybe it's reverse.
Sometimes he even wandered into the living room.
Every now and then. And while I was in the living room, good segue,
nice,
I was
look at
playing.
That.
Congratulations for that one.
Oh, been playing a little bit of what you guys talked about a little last week. Alone in the Dark and the fucking stone.
The fucking stone. What's with this fucking stone?
You know, unlike all the other reviews in the world, I think the N4G podcast is the crew is the only people who actually like the game. So,
well, it's just been me.
I haven't played it. Nobody else played it.
Yeah. No, I would be ignorant if I totally ignored the problems of Alone in the Dark. Yes, it's got camera problems. Yes, it's got control issues. Yes, it's got frame rate problems.
This has got bad voice acting.
Yeah, this has got terrible voice acting. But anybody,
yes, basically everything is wrong with the game. But
anybody who's played a survival horror game that wasn't Resident Evil 4 should already be familiar with this concept.
Well, yeah, because they all play like shit.
Yeah. I mean, from the Fatal Frames to the Silent Hills to the old Resident Evils, I mean, they've had the battle tank controls, and it doesn't really change here. Yes, you can put it in first-person mode, which makes it control better, but then, for some reason, I just don't have access to everything in first-person mode. I don't know why.
You can't do combat in first-person mode. There's certain things you can't do in first-person mode, but there's certain things you have to do in first-person mode. Like, you have to put out fires with a fire extinguisher in first-person mode.
Yeah.
It's much easier to shoot in first-person mode.
But no, the game has got a very interesting premise. It does do a lot of things I've never seen in a video game as far as presentation goes. So the whole storyline and the innovation and a lot of the presentation just keeps me going and allows me to dwell through the frustration of some of the issues that the game does have. I mean, is it perfect? No. Is it great? No. Yeah, it's a 6 or a 7. But for some reason, I just really enjoy it. So
yeah.
Probably because there's been a big lull of good survival horror games in a while.
There's been a big lull of games that do something besides the norm, too. And that's what really gets me into Alone in the Dark. I'm like, oh, I really have to do this.
Yeah. Right.
I have to hotwire the car. I have to get in and look for this stuff. I have to combine this stuff together. I have to physically do this. I can't just tell the game to do it for me.
Yeah, like you're telling me, which I can't wait to get to. You have to chop up a guy's arm to use his palm print.
Yeah, the old security thing where, hey, you got to use the guy's hand. You can't just drag his body.
You can drag his body over there, but you can't put his hand up there until you cut it off.
Nice.
Yeah, you have to physically get a sword, cut his arm off, pick his arm up, walk over there, and put it on with the thing.
Nice.
Open the door.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What was the last good survival horror game besides or before Alone in the Dark? I haven't been one since
Resident Evil 4.
Resident Evil 4, yeah.
Probably.
That
I
can think of.
Yeah, I mean,
Silent Hill Origins
BioShock
is good.
It really survival BioShock. Horror.
Yeah, I guess you could call it survival horror.
Yeah, it's the last creepy style.
Right.
That was fear.
Fear, but it's more of an action horror game.
So, I mean, as far as traditional survival horror, it's been since probably Resident Evil 4.
Yeah.
And that was a lot more action than most survival horror games.
Well, Silent Hill Origins, if you want to count that as a PSP game.
Well, that's good.
They ported
it
to the
PS2.
Even though they totally just ignored everything about the Silent Hill universe in it. It's like, we're going to tell you the backstory, but we're going to totally go against everything that the series has gone through. But anyway, that's a whole other topic for
maybe the Silent Hill Origins podcast.
If you want to know why I say that, just read my review on www.gaminghh.com.
Wow.
Nice shameless plug. Ass plug.
Yeah.
I give you the slow clap for that.
Also playing this week, finally opened up my Guitar Hero for the DS. I love the game, and I mean, for anybody out there who's pondering whether to get it, it all depends on how much of a handheld fan you are. Me, I'm not, and I usually play it on plane rides or long car rides or whatever. And I will really get more into it once I get on an airplane again this September. But it 6 months ago, if you would have told me the Guitar Hero was coming to a handheld, I would have said this is going to be poorly implemented. But they literally gave you Guitar Hero in your hands, and it works really well. I mean, I know Zero played it. I hadn't played it in the store.
Shit.
And he even played it on Expert and found himself having a little bit of fun with it. So
it's amazing.
Yeah. Nothing he'd go out and buy a DS for. But the cool thing about it is the fact that it has, I believe it's like 30 songs, and like 18 of them are new. Not on any other Guitar Hero.
Yeah, there's like 4 or 5 that were in Guitar Hero 3.
Yeah. The Ozzy song on there is awful. But
which Ozzy song?
It's a new Ozzy song, so it's like,
so it's pretty terrible.
You're gonna finally license Ozzy Osbourne and his likeness and his voice, real performed by Ozzy Osbourne song. And you're not gonna give me an old school Ozzy song? You crazy? Anyway, you crazy?
You bark at the moon on the DS.
Of course, playing more Rock Band, more and more Rock Band, always playing Rock Band. Downloaded a few new songs the other day when I found out that Rock Band 2 was that was last week's news, right?
Nope, that's this week.
Okay, well, that's
don't spoil it. Don't spoil it.
Let's just say I was able to download more Rock Band songs without regretting it. There we go. We'll just leave it at that. Including an Avenged Sevenfold song called Afterlife, which is a lot of fun and reminds me a lot of Beast and the Harlot. So, before I get to the biggie, I'm trying to think what else I've played that wasn't...
I thought Alone in the Dark was the biggie. Oh, you're talking about?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm allowed to talk about it. I just can't review it yet. So.
He's not under embargo.
Always playing the show. Always playing the show. Quit playing Metal Gear.
I'll punch you in the face.
and before fanboys go jumping all over me, I've never been a fan. Never will be. I tried to give this one a chance, but it's just, I guess for the lack of a better term, too over my head because I'm not familiar enough with the series to really enjoy it. So the good thing is I'll keep my opinions to myself about it as well. So just not a Metal Gear fan, so for all you guys who love it, congratulations. I'm not one of you. That's all right. No, you can't like everything. So.
It's true. Yeah. Because if you could like everything, you'd be broke.
Yeah, that's true.
Led Zeppelin didn't write songs that everybody liked. They left that to the Bee Gees.
You are wrong, sir. Sorry. You are wrong.
Wayne's World reference.
Yeah. been playing some more. Last night I got back on Pac-Man Championship Edition again. I got nice. Addicted to it again.
Sweet.
Is that the big one?
No, the big one, because for some reason I know I'm playing something else, but it's not coming to me, so I'll just skip over it. And on Thursday I received my final retail copy of NCAA Football 2009 for the Xbox 360.
Foosball.
I've pretty much played some quick games, got into the Campus Legend mode, tinkered around with the custom soundtrack feature, and for anybody who's really excited about it, hope you made a playlist with single songs, because that's the only way you can upload songs is if they're first in a playlist, and they have to be single song playlist.
Wow.
Pretty annoying.
Yeah.
So you got to really go through and redo your thing. Now, anybody who's had WWE games in the past and wanted to do the custom soundtrack, you have to do the same thing. So you may already have songs done and you'd be good to go. But yeah, it's kind of annoying. But it's still a cool feature if you got the time to do it. It'd be kind of nice to have your own personalized music for touchdown. I mean, you can, like, much like 2K5 did years and years and years ago.
Yeah.
Welcome to...
For $19.99?
Welcome to 1999 EA.
No, I mean, the game cost $19.99.
Well, yeah.
When it came out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You can, like, pick certain plays, touchdowns, and stuff like that, celebrations as far as what song you want to go for each. You got, like, I think up to 30 songs to do it with. Campus Legend mode... A lot of fun, but there's disappointing parts. The fact that the creative player is pretty generic. You get, I think, 7 faces per skin tone.
It always amazes me when a game only puts 7 faces in the game. Like, is there really only 7 people in the world?
Yeah.
And what's funny is they mostly look almost the same.
With both systems having a camera? Hello!
Yeah.
Hello.
I mean, I know it's football, and they're always wearing their helmets anyway. And unlike ESPN, they never take off their helmets and wave to the camera and stuff like that. But that's yeah.
Yeah, that was 1999.
Yeah. So anyway, so I can understand maybe why they didn't put so much emphasis on the faces and stuff like that, because you're always in a helmet, and
right?
Really, what can you see in a helmet? I bet she gives great helmet.
Nice. Our first baseball reference.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the Campus Ledge mode is a lot of fun. You start off in high school, work your way up, and you get College Scouts comes out and views you, and each week that you play through these playoffs, and then you get a choice of all the scouts who want to elect to sign you to their school on a scholarship basis, and you could choose, you know, if you want a collegiate school, they'll probably want to start you second or third string. But there are some that may want to make you as a starter right off the bat. So, but that's all up to you and what you want to do, because you got to remember there's a lot of things you got to do in between games, much like you did last year, where you have to, you know, choose whether to hang out with friends. You do go to, make sure you go to class and make sure you study, because obviously if your scores, if you're,
do the study in this game.
Well, you know, not it's an option to study, like a choose your own adventure kind of a thing.
It's an option to study, so it's like real college for athletes.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
pretty much.
Sweet.
And if your GPA falls below a certain percentage, then you can lose your scholarship and all that stuff. I mean, so it's got some interesting stuff. Haven't dug into the Dynasty mode yet, that and the college mascot mode, so that's something that's on my horizon to do either this weekend or later this week. I got till the 15th to review it, so I got plenty of time to really, really dig into it. But if you happen to see me online, that is Boogeyman. Straight up, no letters or anything.
Straight up,
and that's
time.
Only Y. That's
yeah,
E
Y. Yeah.
Yeah, B O
double O G E Y.
Y
M A N.
Not I E.
Right on Xbox Live, and want to know more about it? Hell, hit me up. I don't care.
Because if it was I E, that would make him a boogeyman, and he would be
right.
dancing all over.
He
the
would
place.
Like.
And I would be. I would be with Casey and the Sunshine Band.
He would be.
Yeah.
He likes the nightlife.
Doing a little dance.
He likes to boogie.
I'm your boogeyman. A boogeyman.
Getting down
Turn
tonight.
Me on. I'm okay. Pokemon. Anyway, but no, very, very solid game. It's not a huge leap over last year. Surprise, surprise. But it does do enough new stuff. And the thing is, the gameplay is definitely a lot better this year. The AI is smarter. You'll have receivers like leaping for balls and doing all kinds of crazy stuff.
Let it go.
Yeah,
everybody, oh, come on. Everybody just kept it on the straight and narrow past that one.
See, this
we're
podcast is really matured.
We're trying to increase the professionalism level of the podcast.
Your mom leaps for balls.
Nice.
There's professionalism for it.
You still can't run a play-action pass in college football. Save your life. Every time I try to run a play action pass in college football, I get sacked.
And he fumbled it and they returned it for a touchdown.
Yeah, and I turned it off.
Like, of course, I'm not the biggest college football fan. I'm more of a pro fan because I swear to God, I just don't get the option play.
I don't either. I don't know how to do it.
Throws me for a loop, especially like when it's one where it's the quarterback's job to do whatever. I'm like, huh? Oh no, I got to run. And then I get sacked.
What?
So, just call me college retarded. As far as football goes, I mean, I went to Wright State. We didn't have a football team, so excuse me for not being all up on college football.
All up
college
on
basketball,
your grill.
College basketball. On the other hand, I was. We had a team. We were actually pretty good. but that's pretty much it. Yeah, college football. If you're looking forward to it, there's a lot to look forward to, and I'm sure there's a lot that I'm missing right now as far as what's actually in the game because. I've played maybe a total of 10 games so far because
right.
I only had a couple days. But if you're looking forward to it, it looks pretty good. And for me, it just makes me want Madden. So there you go.
That's
so,
nice.
Boom!
That is an opinion that I do not share because I could care less about either.
Yeah.
All right.
So that is it for my fondling. Future fondling, more college. I don't think there's anything coming out, is there?
Civ.
Till Civilization and then, like, Soul Calibur at the end of the month. That's about it.
Yeah.
All right. More college football, then.
You know, I'm looking forward to Soul Calibur.
For real.
You suck at it, man.
You can't hear me shaking my head on the, I don't suck at Soul Calibur. I'm actually all right at Soul Calibur.
I'll beat you down.
Not online, you won't.
Yeah, I will.
Oh, they actually incorporated online?
Yeah.
I am shocked.
Shocked am I. And a create a character.
Couldn't do that in the Xbox Live version, though, couldn't I?
Create a soul.
We remember how well that worked in Soul
Calibur
3.
Have you seen the ones they've made? They look pretty good. I've seen a bunch of them.
Well, we'll see what kind of palettes they have. You can create a guy in college football, but like I said before, it's pretty
seven
basic.
Faces.
Yeah. So. Yeah, Soul Calibur 3's creative fighter was terrible.
Soul Calibur 3, period, was terrible.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
yeah.
I have high hopes.
So take that, Soul Calibur fans.
I'm a big Soul Calibur fan, but
there's a lot of Soul Calibur fans that will lynch you for saying that. But
it's terrible.
Three?
Eric loves 3 for some reason.
It's
I don't
terrible.
Know.
3 is unbalanced and awful.
Yeah,
it's terrible.
And they got a great story. Oh wait, no.
And that
story?
Stupid strategy mode, whatever the hell it was the worst thing I've ever played in my life.
Yeah. That was
maybe
so
that's not
crappy.
Quite accurate, but.
You played 2 worlds and you're saying the strategy mode in Soul Calibur?
Dude, I had more fun playing 2 worlds than I did playing Soul Calibur 3. That's the truth.
Dun, 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 dun.
Soul Calibur 2, I loved.
Well, Soul Calibur 2 is the awesome sauce.
Soul Calibur 3, I loathed.
You loathed.
Alright, so we're going to move on to Killer Wolverine and his fondling.
Oh, I guess I should add to my fondling. I'm waiting for the 2.4 update to go back up again.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think we can even discuss 2.4 because I don't think anybody downloaded it. Did
no, I didn't get it. I came home and tried to download it,
and
it just
was gone
said,
already.
It said nothing. It's like, you have the latest version. I'm
right,
like, wow,
yeah.
Did you download it for me?
Yeah, that's what I got, too.
Yeah, the PS... Yeah, that's PS3, right?
It's thinking.
Yeah.
What?
It's thinking.
What's fondling you, Wolverine?
Wow.
Oh, wait, that's a
God damn! I quit.
So what are you fondling?
I had fondling nothing. Move on.
Fondling your mom.
Yeah, I bet she likes it.
So what are you fondling, seriously?
I played about
Oh, I forgot to mention.
I'm going to kick you in the dick.
Straight in the tip.
Wouldn't hurt you much. Your feet are like 2 inches long.
Oh, I thought you were referencing your penis size. Oh, no.
All right, boys, the pissing contest is over.
Wow. Oh, my God!
What are you playing?
All right.
You look around. Anybody going to interrupt me?
Played about an hour or so of Alone in the Dark because you were so kind.
Yeah, I was kind enough to let you kill my roots.
He was getting kind of annoyed with it, and I can see why. I mean, it's all right.
You're playing the wrong part of that game, though. Yeah. That's the thing, is that part of the game, and I will say this right now, the end of Chapter 7, Chapter 8, fuck you, game. Fuck you and your Roots of Evil.
Those Roots of Evil
most tedious, boring, dumb shit ever. Yeah. And I remember hearing somebody talk about it, and they were like, oh, the game opens up in Chapter 7. I'm like, no, it closes. Yeah. It ruined part of the game for me.
Well, I like how you can combine a lot of shit. That's pretty cool. There's still stuff. I find it cool. You can take a knife, stab a gas can, or the gas container.
On a car.
On a car.
Puncture the tank, fill up a bottle full of gasoline, then blow it up.
Awesome. You know what other game you can combine a lot of stuff in? Two Worlds.
There you go.
As I mentioned before, I mean, like, it's not the greatest game in the world. Like I said, I give it a 6 or a 7. I mean, that's about the fairness of it, but there's just something about it that's appealing. So, but yeah, I am the boogeyman for Christ's sake. So of course I enjoy anything that's horror. So.
You love the fucking stone.
I don't like the third person view.
I don't like the third person view
that
much.
It's awful. You can't move the camera. So I usually do it in first person.
That's survival horror for you though.
Yeah, well, I didn't have that much problems with Resident Evil.
The old ones you did.
No,
don't tell me you didn't.
Not as many problems as I'm
liar.
Having with this. I can't play it in third
fucking
person.
Fucking liar.
You should literally, what it is you should go back and try to play Resident Evil 2
the
or 3.
The first one?
And you'll see
my
it.
God.
Bad. Like,
it will turn you into a Jill sandwich.
I went back and tried to play Metal Gear 2 after 4, and I'm like, ugh, this game's broken.
Yeah.
Metal Gear.
I don't know. I don't remember having that many problems, and I can't go back and play it, so whatever.
That's true.
Like, I'll save that for the spoiler part later, just in case. Right.
Anyway. So what else you playing?
What else you playing?
I played a little bit of Turning Point, Fall of Liberty.
Did you buy that thing for $20?
It's $20.
So?
Dude, so? It's not bad.
Is it Turning Point and what? Hour of Victory? Is that what the other game is?
Hour of Victory was... here's
the
thing.
I liked Hour of Victory.
Hour of Victory is a horrible game, but it's not as terrible as everybody makes it. And Turning Point is the same thing.
Yeah,
it's not
bad.
As terrible
I enjoyed the demo.
It.
I enjoyed the demo. So for $20, like, hell yeah.
$20,
of course,
I'd,
it's not
I'd
my
buy.
Forte anyway. So I guess
you don't like FPSs.
I do like FPSs, and I hated Turning Point.
Really?
The demo, at least.
You
I hated,
hated
it?
It?
Yeah, I hated
ops.
It.
The conflict,
or
denied
conflict.
Ops.
Yeah, denied
that,
ops.
I hated that. That was terrible.
Yeah,
that
I didn't even play that.
Oh,
but,
awful.
Turning Point, I hated it. I played the demo and hated it.
I'd say it was definitely one worth $60, but for $20,
yeah. $20
it's worth playing. Playing through for
you
$20.
You just want achievement points.
Well, that too.
Well, yeah. So?
It's an interesting take on the World War II first person shooter.
That was the only thing about it that made it appealing.
Put an asterisk next to your name.
But the gameplay, I just...
I didn't really
mind
it. I like the grapple system's pretty generic and cool.
Called you Barry Bonds of gaming.
Anything about it?
The problem I had with it was the AI was just terrible. Like you'd be standing there 2 feet from somebody, and they'd just be standing there looking at you, and they either wouldn't shoot or they'd shoot and it just miss you every time.
Reminds me of the AI of what's that other Frontlines?
Frontlines.
So
Buttlines.
Exactly.
I like
this better than Frontlines. So
I don't like it better than Frontlines. That's for sure.
I do. Frontlines just pissed me off to no end. So. I don't know. So far, I'm enjoying it. We'll see how... I only got to the first level, so I didn't play much of it, because I've been spending my time playing Tar Heel Aerosmith.
Man, you said that with some scorn in your voice.
He likes Aerosmith, too. What's
it's
up with
that? Bad, no. It's not bad.
I like
it's
Aerosmith,
Tar
too.
Tar Heel Aerosmith.
It has Cat Scratch Fever on it.
It does.
Nice.
You have...
The Nuge.
The way it works is your first two songs are opening bands, and then you can bring on Aerosmith, and then they can play an encore.
Nice.
There you go.
It's like 31 songs.
Are the opening band tracks any good? Other than Cat Scratch Fever?
Some of them are.
Stone Temple Pilots is on it.
Oh, really? Which song?
Sex Type Thing.
Oh, nice.
And you remember that ABC, the Monday Night Football song?
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know that was a cover or like a remade of an actual song.
Joan Jett and the Black Hearts. Yeah.
When I started playing, like, I know this. Hey, this is the football song.
Which the Are You Ready for Some
Football? No, it's Monday Night. Saying.
It's yeah, We're Pink and what's that country bitch's name? Last year. No one knows? Okay, I don't know.
I don't watch football anymore, so the only football song I know is either dun 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 dun
dun dun dun dun dun.
Or I know.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was Sunday Night Football.
Are you ready for some football?
Is it Sunday Night? Yeah,
it's Monday Night was the ESPN. It's only on ESPN, so.
Yeah,
Sunday Night Football. So whatever, it doesn't matter. It was that song.
It's that song. It's like a cover. Pink did it and changed it into a football song.
Yeah. Gotcha.
And now it was actually a Joan Jett and the Blackheart song.
Yeah. So nothing much has changed.
Sure, the Pink did it and turned it into a shitty song, too.
Well, yeah, that's what she tends to do. So it's nothing much has changed. It's still Guitar Hero at heart. It's just Aerosmith. And you can unlock them to play as three members of the band?
Yeah, and Run DMC.
And Run DMC, which
nice.
It's only one. Remember.
It's just Run.
Yeah, right.
Or maybe it's just DMC. I don't know.
I think it's just DMC.
DMC is
can't be Jam Master J.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Too soon.
It's probably Rev Run.
Too soon.
It's
too soon. Too soon. You get to play. That is one of the opening bands is Run DMC. It's the King of Rock.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm the King of
and
Rock.
And then that opens it up for the encore of
It Works
This Way. With
nice.
Yeah. So it's fun. It's Guitar Hero.
It's straying away from the freaking concept, though.
Yeah, well. There's not.
Like Freeze Pop?
Yeah, I didn't download it.
Well, they got rid of. Well, I guess they kind of had to for this one. The boss battles and stuff for towards
There's
the end.
There's still one.
There's still one. You got to face
one.
Joe Perry, which is the most annoying thing in the world.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Is it
the
is
devil?
It,
is the most.
Well,
annoying
yeah.
Thing.
Well,
is
I'm
it
I'm
a regular
talking in this
like
game.
Boss battle like the other ones were?
Yeah, yeah. It's exactly.
It's just one.
Same power.
I doubt they'll have those in four though.
Oh.
Yeah, they are.
Oh,
you're kidding.
Nope.
As much flack as they got for doing it.
They said they're changing it.
Oh,
I wonder if they'll do vocal boss battles. Because they licensed Sting for Guitar Hero 4, didn't they? Like his likeness and everything?
Yeah.
So, I wonder if you'll have to sing Roxanne against Sting.
Just cast away.
Those boss battles
haven't
suck.
Haven't lost that sea.
So, I was kind of playing through
good.
It, hoping that they wouldn't have the
Thank
boss battles,
much.
And then they
you'll
have
find
Joe
out on
Perry.
My next CD.
So, I'm just going to talk over everyone else.
I'm listening to you.
I'm done.
You got anything else?
No.
Future fondling?
I don't know. I don't know. Hopefully get my PS3
So basically
back
what you're saying, though...
Motherfucker!
I was going to ask you... I'm asking you a question, schmuck.
All right.
So basically what you're saying is Guitar Hero Aerosmith is the $60 equivalent of Rock the 80s.
Yeah.
Or I guess depending on what system you buy, but the full price version of a lesser game.
Yeah. It is. It should have been
if
called Rock
a
the
fan
80s,
of,
too.
Yeah, well, if you're a fan of Aerosmith, you're essentially playing their greatest hit. So, I mean, if you want to pay $60 for it...
Did it have Angel on there?
No.
You're my angel.
No. It's only a... I don't know how many songs they
Did
have.
Did they have that Don't Want to Close My Eyes?
No, they don't, which is
oh
what I was expecting. They would have
wow.
it. They don't
Jesus.
Have it. Because I think you would have to so play the violin for that
so
one.
So what newer Aerosmith songs are they?
What newer ones? Well, they got the remake of Walk This... Not Walk This Way.
Dream On.
Dream On.
Oh,
which
nice.
You can tell it's different, but what newer ones do they have?
It was After the Drugs.
Is Jaded on there?
No, Jaded's not
Since
on
I sang
there.
It earlier in the podcast.
Crying?
What is it?
Crying?
No.
No.
Oh,
about
man.
Ragdoll.
Yeah, it's Ragdoll's on there.
Oh, okay.
How do you not have Crying
Loving
on
in Elevators
there?
On
yes,
there?
Yes, that's
yeah,
on
yeah.
How about,
Toys in the
How
Attic.
About Crazy?
Toys in the Attic's on there?
Toys in the Attic's on there.
It's a good song.
Crazy's not on
Mama
there.
Ken's on there, too.
Yeah.
Wow. There's like I've named like four or five songs
How about
now
Fever?
That's not
Fever
on
there? On there?
No, Fever's not on there.
Aerosmith's not so great.
I guess.
It's like nothing from Get a Grip on there. Is
well, that's not
Living
really
on the Edge?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yep.
Well, that's not really their greatest.
Sweet Emotions.
Get a Grip. Get a Grip is just
of
what everybody knows.
On
yeah,
there.
I know.
You know.
But
like Toys
Sweet
in the Attic
the
is
fireworks.
Like their
But I like Get a Grip. That was the first CD I ever bought.
Yeah, but you figure you only get like what 20 Aerosmith songs into the game.
Yeah.
You got to kind of pick through.
Well, you
their
can
whole...
download them too. Like not, you can download the original. Not download. I'm sorry. Purchase.
You can purchase, like,
too.
Some songs,
yeah.
Yeah,
and the Joe Perry Experience, whatever his goddamn band was named. So.
The Joe Perry Experience.
But it's kind of interesting, too, between each...
Heroin.
Oh, wow.
Oh, well. But between each venue you open, you get a brief history of the band, so it's pretty interesting.
Are there online achievements, or is it all offline?
Yeah, there's some online achievements.
The achievements are much more
generous than threes.
Really?
Okay. I got my first, like, 100 and some in the first song.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I might have to borrow some then.
Yeah, just to get
the achievement points.
I don't recommend buying it. I mean, it's $60.
And you just accused us of being whores. You want to borrow it to get achievement
points? Yeah, but I'm, like, way behind you guys, though. I don't hear it.
Yeah, well, it helps if you play a game more than once.
I still haven't hit 10,000.
I know. You would have if you'd have been around for Avatar.
Yeah. I just don't.
How ashamed would you have been if been like, I broke 10,000
by
with
playing
Avatar?
No, I'm good. I'm just not, I guess, that kind of achievement whore. I like achievements. Like, I enjoy them. But
I normally play them for the purpose they are, just to do more, add more to value to the game.
So. But I don't like go out of my way to get every achievement, so I don't cry if I don't have the achievements in a game. Unlike Zero Tolerance, who I've seen weep on several occasions.
Sometimes, yeah.
Anyways.
It's no future.
So did you have future following at all?
Oh, sure there is. You'll eventually get to play Metal Gear because
you'll
get your feedback from
eventually
Professor Chaos.
I'll get Metal Gear, but probably not anytime soon.
Metal Gear spoiler episode, and two of the five in the room haven't even played it. Well,
I haven't even
played much of it.
I don't know. I kind of played Forza for a little bit, too.
Nice.
Forza?
Yeah.
So that's a good
game.
Maybe
I'll play more of that, but I doubt it.
That's a good game.
I played a little bit just because it was of everything this week. So, because it was a short week.
I bypassed
school. So
it was a long weekend.
Time, so I don't know. Probably
not long enough.
I know.
I don't want to go back to work tomorrow.
I don't know what I'm going to play this week.
You're going to beat somebody down and get your PlayStation 3 back and play some Metal Gear?
Yeah, probably not.
No, I know what you're going to play this week. You bought Quake Wars.
Oh, yeah, I did. I haven't played that yet.
Oh, just play that.
Maybe I'll try to play some. Probably not, though.
Oh, didn't you play Devil May Cry, too?
Oh, yeah. Shit.
Dang.
Yeah, I did.
He knows more about your fondling than you do.
Well, I just remember him asking me a question about the game, and I'm like, well, you had to have played it then.
Yeah,
it's Devil May Cry.
Yeah, it's Devil May Cry. I never played one before.
Really?
I only watch people play it, and I don't know. I haven't decided. It's not... Human mode's not hard, so I don't know what demon mode's going to be like.
I still haven't played it on demon mode. I'm having trouble
trying to get that S ranking. Because you got to beat it within a certain time to get it, too.
Yeah, it measures your time, your orbs, how many enemies you kill.
I don't have a problem getting orbs or killing the enemies. It's fucking getting through the level at a certain time. Because I like to go around everything, make sure I got everything. So I don't know. Those bosses are weird. Big fucking toad.
Those bosses are weird.
So,
big toad.
Maybe I'll try to beat that and just give it back to Gamefly.
Here, take this back.
Take this back.
So, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I'll beat that. Maybe try to play some Mass Effect. I don't know.
There you go.
Probably not, though.
How many games are you missing out on?
I have a lot of games.
You're
like
missing out.
So.
I got it.
You don't want to miss a thing, all right?
So, I don't know.
I don't want to miss that song because it's not in there.
I'll probably come here next week not playing anything.
Probably.
Because I got school to go to.
Quake Wars.
I'll try to play things. I want promising.
I ain't making no promises for y'all. Well, next week is the prediction episode, so.
E3. There you go.
Oh, yeah. So I'll have my hands
You're
full.
Being the news dick dirt, dirt digger.
My hands full.
All right, so.
All right.
Wombat, what are you final?
Yeah, it's so happy now. Let's talk about
flowers and
well, I'm not angry at anybody on the forum, although if it makes Killer Wolverine angry, then I'm going to rage. I don't do rage very well. I don't do rage as well as Killer Wolverine.
I rage against the machine.
Do you? I rage against
with a pocket full of shells.
I hate Rage Against the Machine with a passion. Let's see. I played Monster Hunter 2 some more, and I've discovered, I think, that Monster Hunter 2 is Capcom's way of punishing me for actually beating people at Street Fighter 2 all those years ago in the arcade, because Monster Hunter 2 whips my ass on a regular basis. The quote-unquote boss battles, like the big monsters, are so fucking hard. It's just ridiculous. It's definitely not your average hack and slash. So
it's not noob worthy.
Right. So I've been playing that and getting increasingly frustrated. I also, and it almost pains me to say this, But I actually played more Prize Fighter this week, even though I don't really have to anymore. So it's like, you know, I can't,
I'm not forced to play this game anymore.
I gave it a 5.5, and I stick by my review because the actual in-ring boxing is terrible, but something about it just makes me want to keep playing it. And you know what? I think I figured it out. I think I figured out what it is. It's because I love boxing, and I love boxing games, and there's nothing else out right now other than Fight Night Round 3.
I played the shit out of Fight Night. So, I even tried to pick up the PS3 version just to play with the little shinier coat,
right.
I guess, for lack of a better term. And I couldn't play it anymore because I played it
so much. So I've been playing that a little bit, and plus I like the training mini games, and I like the career mode and Prize Fighter, so it pushes me through the shitty
I like the fact that no matter what your last punch is the punch that they go down on, and there's no follow-up with a combo.
Right.
So you could be jabbing, like, oh.
Right.
You can't even follow up with a combo to have a nice little replay.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Yeah. That's what kind of lost it for me. I'm like, it's unsatisfying.
Yeah, what kind of lost it for me is the fact that you can swing and completely miss somebody and it registers as a hit. So I did play. I played some more of that. I played also. I got my copy of Top Spin to review. So I played some of that. And you know what? The creative player is actually good. It's got face morphing and everything, like in Tiger Woods. So you can make a pretty decent replica yourself. The career mode, it's a little weird. Like I enjoy it, but there's no like training mini games or anything, which I enjoy in a tennis game.
In virtual tennis,
right? Yeah.
Well,
so,
yeah. The thing is, I mean, if you want to learn about the game, you have to go out of the career mode to the school, to do all the training.
Yeah,
stuff.
That's like in the career mode. I actually wish there was an option to train in the career mode. And it's not there. You just kind of go to the shop and you can build up your attributes, or you can buy clothes or whatever, and then you just go back out and you start playing again. The actual gameplay is actually really good. The only thing that's a little weird about it is it's instead of just timing the button press like you do with most tennis games, you actually, in Top Spin, you hold the button for the hit that you want to do, and then when the ball gets close, you release it to swing. You can just tap the button, but your shots aren't as powerful.
Right.
And you can also, you can serve with just the button, but your shots aren't as powerful as if you use the right stick. And you actually just hold the right stick back, and he'll throw the ball up in the air, and then you push forward, and he serves it. But it does actually, it's probably the most realistic feeling tennis game that I've played in probably ever. Your guys have momentum.
Yeah.
So if you're running to the right for a ball and you notice that it's going to go to the left, it's not like most tennis games where you can just immediately shift back and go left. Your guy has momentum, so his weight is carrying him to the right, so he's going to stumble a little bit if you try and go immediately back to the left, which means it's a lot more like real tennis in that it's about, you know, placing the ball when you hit it and anticipating where the guy you're playing against is going to hit the ball. It's got some cool little things that I like. It's got, if you hit the right bumper button right after a serve or right after a volley or whatever, you can charge the net. So instead of having to physically run up there, your guy will just charge the net so you can get in place for a volley. The left bumper button's kind of like turbo, I guess, if you want to call it that. You can use the left trigger and the right trigger to do what's called risk shots, which when you first start out in the career, you will never succeed with. So don't even try them. But the left trigger does line shots. So if you're like right on the line, you can hit the left trigger and hit the ball, and it'll like glance the line. If you hold the right trigger when you hit the button, it'll do a power shot, and you'll put more power on it.
Yeah, the thing is, Rick, if you played it last year, the risk shots are actually more rewarding because last year we had to kind of like hold it. It was like a pressure sensitive wrist shot thing.
Right.
It just didn't work, but this one does work a lot better.
It works very well, but like I said, don't try and do it early in your career because your guy doesn't have the skills to pull it off, and you'll hit every wrist shot out of bounds just about. But other than that, like I said, it's probably the most realistic tennis game that I've ever played.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest problem is the fact that it's the timing with the release point. And the thing is, when I'm back away from the net, that's fine.
Right.
But when you're up close volleying, right, it's really hard to hit your shots the way you want to because you're trying to anticipate a quick shot coming back at you. So,
but it's, I mean, if you're somebody who is weaned on Wii tennis, like that's the only tennis that you know.
Or virtual tennis,
even. Yeah. I mean, yeah, even virtual tennis, you're going to have some struggles with topspin because it's a lot harder and a lot more realistic than either of those two. But it's I actually think it's kind of more rewarding than Wii tennis, and even more rewarding than virtual tennis, just because it when you do hit a good shot, it feels more like skill than luck. Rather, whereas in the other games, you can hit good shots without really knowing what you're doing. But in topspin, you actually have to know where the ball is going to be, know where you want to hit it, know what kind of shot you want to hit, and the computer is not stupid. Yeah. So,
it's a huge learning curve. Yeah. So
far, I really enjoy it. I got to put some more time into it, but so far, I'm really actually really liking it.
This ain't my tennis game.
No, it's not. It's not for for people who don't really like tennis or who
like arcade style tennis.
Or who don't have a lot of patience for a steep learning curve because it's going to take you a while to get used to it.
Yeah, I think it was EGM. They basically said it was the Ninja Gaiden of
tennis games. Yeah, that's actually a pretty good. That's a pretty good description.
The camera's good.
Oh, snap.
I'm just kidding. I love Ninja Gaiden.
Snap.
Too.
So anyway, I should have a review up of that hopefully this week, but it just depends on how much I get to play it. I also, and everybody will be happy to hear this, last night finished Metal Gear.
Metal Gear.
So I'm ready to discuss it at length. The spoiler-filled extravaganza coming later in the show.
In the show. Meryl. Liquid. Otacon. Metal Gear. Right. Monkey and a driver. Trevin. Sonny.
Metal Gear Tourette's again. So, I did play... I'll save most of my comments for the spoiler part later. But overall, it's fantastic game. Just like every game, I have my gripes with it, but I'll go into those a little later. But it's overall a fantastic game, absolutely fantastic. And I think that sums it up for me as far as what I actually played. Future Fondling, I actually have at my house, and people will probably groan when I say this. I have at my house Universe at War that I got from GameFly. That I want to play, just, you know, because I kind of liked the demo, even though people said it sucked.
Why would anybody groan at that? I own it.
I know you own it, but I think it got like an average of five or six reviews.
Universe at War is a weird monster in the reviews. Like, even like the Game Informer review, like one guy gave it an 8, the other guy gave it a 5.
Yeah, that's true.
So it just depends on what you like. Like, there are people in EGM that loved it, people in EGM that hated it. So, I mean, it's average. I don't think it's the best for, you know, real-time strategy game on a console, but it is pretty good, especially the system that it uses, the circle wheel, which is the same thing that Kane's Wrath used, which was very well done.
So that's part of my future fondling. Civ, I want to get Civ. It's going to be a lot of strategy fondling this week. And then I'm hoping for something else, but we'll see. So...
Is it like a secret?
Yeah, it's kind of a secret.
I'm hoping there's some other game that I can play, but only me.
But
only me. I'm the only one that's going to play it.
Well, I might pass it around. but other than that, I think that's pretty much it.
Mr. Khan, I know you've been waiting over there with bated breath to talk about your crazy games, because every week you play crazy games.
I do play some crazy games.
So what is it this week? Last week it was like tennis.
Yeah.
What's this week? Are you playing Tony Hawk?
No. First off, on the Nintendo DS, played some more Etrian Odyssey, which I really like. I mean, Etrian Odyssey Part 2 just recently came out. If you're into RPGs, well, specifically, extremely difficult RPGs,
and you like the whole old school first person perspective grinding fest where you can actually draw your own maps on the bottom screen, if you like that,
somebody's
going
to draw a penis.
Yeah, I think we've had this discussion before.
I think
haven't we
have too, but it always has to come up.
So you're saying it's like the very first Phantasy Star?
Very similar, yes. It is. It is kind of like a mixture of the very first Phantasy Star and kind of a little bit of like wizardry from the PC.
Nice.
And, but of course, I mean, it looks better than those games. And the bomb screen, you know, you use the stylus to draw the map of the labyrinth. So if you like drawing maps and fighting creatures over and over and over and over again for hours, countless hours, as it's just about kicking your butt all the time, then you'll probably enjoy this game. It's pretty cool.
So it sold 3 copies? Jesus.
Yeah.
Does not sound fun.
Yeah, I'm one of the people who bought the game.
And the sequel.
And the sequel, yes.
Like Sheer in the Wonder or whatever?
Yeah, I'm gonna play this game probably for the rest of my life, you know? Because at the rate that I'm going, I'm not even a quarter of the way through the first one, and I probably put about a good 15 hours into it. So I'm thinking that, you know, if I just play it every once in a while, that both 1 and 2 will probably last me for the rest of my life. But
be honest, Dad, but I finally finished Agent Oddity 2.
Yes.
By then, Atrium Odyssey 3 will be out, and you'll be.
Oh,
fuck.
Man.
Maybe it'll be out, along with Duke Nukem.
Yeah, along with Forever. But,
still won't get a chance to play Street Fighter HD.
Duke Nukem Forever's
You've
coming out this
it,
December.
So.
Yeah.
Well, the other.
It's coming out this year.
What is?
Duke Nukem Forever.
Oh, yeah. Good luck with that.
Mm. Yes. By now, it should be called Duke Nukem Never. But, now, also on DS, I played some more Final Fantasy III, and I like it. You know, despite my Final Fantasy rant of last week, I do like Final Fantasy. It's kind of like a love-hate relationship with Final Fantasy. You know, I love what it used to be, but I hate what it's becoming. Nice. Type of dilemma, you know. It's kind of like, you know, if you're a parent and you have a child, you know. You love your child, you know, but then he grows up to be like a freaking gang leader, and they're like going around stabbing people, and you're pissed off at him. You know what I'm saying? It's like
I didn't raise you to stab people.
Yeah, exactly. And in the case of Final Fantasy, it's grown up to be a whore. So
wow.
So
solid.
But I still love Final Fantasy what it was. You know, the fundamental things about it, but yeah, it grew up, and it's now a streetwalker on the corner.
I believe it's a crackhead who got hold of the wrong stuff. They told him to go up in the tree and be a leprechaun.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to see a leprechaun say hey.
But yeah, I played that, and I also played some more Space Invaders Extreme. Yeah, and
Extreme.
It's pretty tough, man.
More than words.
Like stage 4 and 5, because it's got. Here's the thing about Space Invaders Extreme. Stages 1 and 2 are the same difficulty, and then stage like 3, 4, and 5 are in various difficulties, from easy to hard to absurdly hard, and. Stage 4 and 5 on easy are pretty tough for me, so...
Do you have to flip a little switch on your console to change it from easy to hard? Or from 1 to 2 players?
Well,
like on
it's,
the Atari?
It's kind of weird. It's like a tier. It's like a tier of stages.
Gotcha.
That expands as you advance through the game. So, I mean, if you want to change the difficulty level, you pretty much have to start over from stage 1. Which is no big deal, because the stages are really small. But stage 4 and 5 are extremely tough, so you'll be playing those over and over and over again, even on easy mode. So it's really cool. I'm really enjoying it. I love the visuals. I love the music. The gameplay is, even though it's Space Invaders, they changed some of the rules, so it's fresh. It's like the equivalent of Pac-Man Championship Edition. you know, is fundamentally similar, but specifically it's more like innovative or different. So I'm really enjoying that. And on the Xbox 360, I played some more of Aces of the Galaxy. And
didn't you hate that game?
Yes.
I enjoyed the game when I was playing it on easy, but I boost up the difficulty level to normal, and now all of a sudden I hate the game. And I don't really know what to make of it. I mean, it's a third person spaceship shooter game on rails, similar to Star Fox. The thing is, I love Star Fox.
Oh, that's so good.
Don't ever compare this game to Star Fox.
I haven't played it. Don't look at me.
I'm just saying, don't make that comparison.
It's only comparable on a very, very, very broad and fundamental level.
Does it have an annoying-ass frog that constantly needs you to save his life?
That's the comparison.
Spaceships?
They're both spaceships.
No, they're the same kind of game, but you know, Aces of the Galaxy would be if Star Fox was like on crack.
Basically, if Slippy the Toad was the main character, Star Fox.
No, that would be a better game.
That would be a better game. I will say this, though. Ace of the Galaxy, I actually enjoy the visuals. And I actually enjoy the music, because I think it has really good music. So, visually and audio, I love the game. Gameplay-wise, on easy, you know, I think Zero brought up a point that I think really needs to be strived to. The enemies, the ships, right, that you fight, it seems like they come out in random patterns. Like the firing and the enemy waves are random. Mm. And when I played it on normal difficulty, when I boosted up the difficulty, I noticed that even more so. And the first stage got to the point where the whole screen was just crowded with enemies. Laser shots were coming at me like there was like 10 like laser shots like flying right towards me. And in a three-dimensional space, it's extremely difficult to tell on like what, you know, three-dimensional tier of gameplay that the laser fire is coming at you from. So, and let alone, like, a dozen or so beams coming at you extremely fast. And then you end up getting killed really quickly. It just seems too random, and it feels like the gameplay mechanics were just thrown together and were they're extremely sloppy, you know. It's not like a Japanese shoot 'em up game where the enemy waves come at you in calculated ways and attack you in a calculated fashion to where you can learn their pattern, which is, you know, a fundamental skill of shoot 'em ups. In this game, it's all randomness. And basically, the skill that you have to have the most in that game is basically the skill of luck. So, my feelings about that game have really turned around to the negative aspect.
Turn to the dark
for that
side. Turns to the dark side, bro. Your journey is now complete.
Yes.
Something, something, something dark side. Dark side.
So what else are you playing?
And there's one other game that I've been playing on 360. It's a game that I've had for a while, and I played a multiplayer session with Mr. Zero Function and a other fellow named Hopeless Kenny, and that game is Call of Duty 4.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I finally started the single-player campaign.
Really?
Yes. And I must say, it is freaking awesome.
You know what's funny? I still haven't beat it.
Really?
I think I'm the only one in this room that has.
Yeah, I've had it since it came out, and I still haven't beat it. But I also have had Assassin's Creed since it came out, and still haven't beat it.
Yep. I have too, but there was a reason for that.
It is.
I'm sorry, I got bored with Assassin's Creed.
Call of Duty 4 is an amazing game, and I was thinking, you know, when I was playing Metal Gear Solid 4, I remember I was thinking to myself, you know, can I play other games?
Otacon.
Meryl.
Dragon. Liquid.
Could I play? Could I possibly play Mantis. other military based games besides, you know, Metal Gear? You know, I was
looking at diaper.
Yeah, there you go. But
nail me.
Once I really started playing Call of Duty 4, the answer is yes. I can go back to a game that came out last year. You know, haven't played Metal Gear Solid 4, and you know this game, the presentation is incredible. The graphics are incredible. They're almost on level. Well, maybe not presentation wise, but graphically, it's almost on the level of MGS4, but not quite. Not quite on the same level.
See,
but
I think in terms of environments, I think they are on the same level. I would agree. Yeah. As far as character models go, it's not even close.
Yeah, the character models are kind of, you know, sucky.
Right.
Compared to MGS4.
Right. But in terms of environments, I think they're pretty much right on the same level.
They have great environments in COD4.
Yeah. Oh, man. Beautiful. The escape from the tanker scene.
Yeah.
Where you're in the tanker and all the water's rushing
level.
In.
Yeah.
And the whole tanker leaned sideways. Oh, my God. My heart was racing.
Wait, you played on veteran.
Wait till you.
That probably won't happen. I'm a newbie when it comes to shooters.
If you think that part was cool, just wait.
Oh yeah.
Wait till like the middle of the game. There's something that happens that's really, really freaking cool.
Yeah, so, I know what you're talking about.
But
what you talking about, Will?
Spoiler alert!
Yeah, we don't want to spoil it for Gamus because he's still playing it.
But, although we have spoiled it on the show before,
oh,
and he probably just doesn't remember it.
Yeah.
But I think I'm maybe 4 stages into the game. And I'm really enjoying it. I'm really looking forward to going back and playing some more of it. It's really fun. The graphics are great. I love the presentation. How in between the levels, how it shows like a satellite image from space and it zooms in.
Right.
And it almost has like a Jerry Bruckheimer kind of feel to it. Like it's like a really fast edited type of intel scene. Oh man, I can't wait to go back and play it. I just need to get some more time. And my future fondling will be Civilization this week. I'm looking forward
Indeed.
To that.
Everybody's all excited about Civilization.
Yeah, are you guys going to be getting Civilization? I know.
I am, for sure.
Yeah. Multiplayer, dude.
Yeah, if I ever get time to play it.
Yeah. I heard that if you're playing multiplayer, I heard that it's like on a fundamental level, it's 5 civilizations fighting. So if it's 2 players fighting, that means that the other 3 civilizations are computer controlled. So you might have to, we'll have to go up against the CPU,
right?
You know, so I guess it could be up to 5 players online. That's what I'm assuming right now. So I mean, that's pretty big, you know.
Yeah. And I think the thing that excites me the most, and actually we had this conversation on the forum in the last podcast thread, and there was mixed opinions about it. I'm actually very happy that you can apparently play through a single game in 4 hours or less. So, because I don't have a whole lot of opportunities to sit and play games for hours on end. I sort of had to last night, but normally that's not really – I don't really get that opportunity. So for me, the chance to be able to finish a round in less than 4 hours is perfect. So,
and that's pretty much it. There you go.
There you go.
Solid.
Solid Snake.
Meryl. Liquid. Otacon.
And we just do it at this point to see you shake your head in frustration.
You know, honestly, I didn't play anything new this week.
You didn't play anything new?
Nothing new.
Bold-faced lie.
This was, well, besides Guitar Hero.
Thank you.
I mean, just...
But we already
bold-faced lie.
Well, Train Point.
That
not
wasn't
new.
It was
well,
old.
New to you.
This is...
Well, it was my fun week of catching up. So I played lots and lots of Ninja Gaiden. Man, that game's awesome.
Yeah, it also very looks awesome.
Man, that game's awesomely hard.
Yeah, it is awesomely hard, and the camera is awesomely frustrating.
You got to get used to pulling that right trigger.
Right.
That right trigger is your friend.
No, that part you did the other day, I would have broke something. I would have fucking broke something.
You?
No shock there.
Shut up.
We pretty much all have to wear padded body suits around Killer Wolverine.
I have played a lot of Alone in the Dark this week as well, and I am literally on the last chapter, and I am so pissed off at that game right now because of the Roots of Evil.
We finally got through it, though.
It's done. It's over. It's finished. But there are still four roots, and if I want the achievement, I have to go back and kill the last four roots.
Did you actually beat Dark?
No, I haven't beat it yet.
Okay.
I just walked in, and I did a little thing, and I opened this gate that looks like it goes to hell or something, and I jumped down it a couple times to watch him die. And I'm like, all right, and that's where I quit. So, and I'm like,
stone.
I think I'm on chapter 8-2, which there's 8-4. That's the last chapter.
Gotcha.
So I'm right at the end of it. And, you know, up until the end of chapter 7 and most of the beginning of chapter 8, I loved everything that this game did. But running around Central Park trying to destroy the Roots of Evil is the dumbest shit I've ever seen to extend the life of a game. It is absolutely awful.
The soundtrack continued to be awesome.
The soundtrack continues
that,
to be
that
awesome.
That car chase song was freaking awesome.
Well, you know the game comes with the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Which is what you charged me the extra $10 for. His website had it for $50 and I had to pay $60. So I see how it rolls. But no, it is. The music is continuously great.
Yeah, you charged me. You cost me $60 too, because I was going to totally ignore the game. But they're like, "Oh, you need to play it, try it out." So I take it home. I'm like, God.
Are you disappointed?
No.
Then shut up.
Shut up.
But no, everything up to the point of the end of chapter 7, beginning of chapter 8, has just been phenomenal. Just so many little things that I love about the game. Just little nuances that I was like, wow. Like, when you get in a car, sometimes you would think, hey, can I look in the glove box? You know, in other games, you'd be like, oh, why can't I look in the glove box?
There's an achievement for finding keys
in the visor.
In the visor.
Yeah. And just little things, like he said, about puncturing the gas tank. And the thing that you haven't got this far yet to notice this, but what you get towards the end is it goes back to that Resident Evil mentality where you only have so much room in your jacket. So you have to decide what you're going to bring. Are you going to bring bandages? Are you going to bring tape? Are you going to bring, you know, batteries for your flashlight? Are you going to bring bullets? You know, you have to make all those decisions as you're going.
Bullets.
And when you run across something and you say, hey, am I going to need this? Maybe. You know, glow sticks, flares, bottles of explosive liquid. What are you going to need? And then when you get there and you go, fuck, I should have kept the batteries. But no, it's just very cool. Like, I actually created a weapon last night that was useless. There's an achievement for it.
Really?
You take an empty plastic bottle, and you tape, what was it, a flare to it, and then put a wick in it. And it gives you an achievement called useless, because it doesn't do anything.
Nice.
Like, even if you throw it at somebody, it doesn't do it. Oh, and I had a moment. I got to tell about that moment. I'd run out of fire. I'd run out of things to burn people with. So all I had was my flares, and you can't kill an enemy with a flare. So I come out of this room, and the two of these big friggin' monsters come in the room, and I'm like, fuck! And I got a flare in my hand. I'm like, what do I do? I throw the flare at the guy, and it hits him, and he goes, boom, and he falls down.
It hits him in the knee, stayed down until he could get out of the room, which is like a good 30 to 40 seconds. He's just like,
he just fell down. I didn't think anything. I just pulled the right trigger, threw the flare, and it hit him. He was like, and he fell down. I'm like, really? I started running through the door.
Oh, I got to tell him about my accomplishment, which I didn't think I could, you know, you could do with a car.
Oh, my God.
I flipped a car.
I've never flipped a car.
I've never seen anyone flip a car. I didn't see him flip a car. I flipped it. And to get out, he went through the car. Which nice. Was the weirdest thing, because you see his head pop up through the car and just get out of the car. And then I turned one of the cars into a convertible.
Nice.
You ripped the entire top of the car off.
I was going towards one of the Roots of Evil, and there was four trees, and I was going full speed, and I just ramped and hit the trees, and I came out, and the whole top of the car was off.
Well, here's the best part, is while he was driving that car, because you got to keep driving that car around, because that just looks cool. And the enemies come out, and when the enemies are running around, they can jump on your car and hit you. I'm like, dude, you have no roof now. What if an enemy jumps on it? He's going to land in the passenger seat and just start beating the crap out of you.
And when he said that, someone jumped on my car and just started punching me. That's awesome. So it looked like the Tommy Boy car when I got it.
Nice.
So I take it you have to burn everybody in this game.
Yes, there are. The only enemies that you don't have to burn are the little, like frog-looking things.
You don't have to burn the bats.
You don't have to burn the bats?
No, you can just
shoot the bats. Yeah, I never paid much attention to the bats. The only time I paid attention to them is at the beginning of the game.
The part we got to yesterday when you had there was one root of evil, they kept respawning. You would clear them out, and you would go towards it, try to blow it up, and they would come back at you. Mm. It was fucking annoying. Stupid fucking bats.
I like how that achievement popped up for no reason, too.
Yeah, we glitched
awesome.
An achievement.
There's an achievement for killing three of the enemies at once. And he's running around, like, just shooting randomly. And there's one enemy chasing him. And all of a sudden, the achievement pops up. And it's like, how did you just get that? You didn't kill anybody. It just awesome. Popped up. I'm like, woo, free achievement.
I certainly didn't kill anyone three at a time.
No, I'd never killed three at a time.
That's... They're going to have to put another asterisk next to your score.
I didn't glitch that one.
It was the game that glitched.
The game glitched, not me. I did play the demo for Soul Calibur. I'm getting my review copy of it next week for Xbox Live Arcade. And it's Soul Calibur for the Dreamcast.
But with no mission mode.
No mission mode and no online, which is disappointing. But you know what? Going back and playing it, I'm just like, man, I really love this game.
I think the only thing that sort of makes me leery about buying it for Xbox Live is the fact that there's no mission mode. And the fact that basically everything that you could unlock in the mission mode in the Dreamcast version, you already get, like, when you start out.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, that one of the reasons I love Soul Calibur so much and played it so much was the mission mode. And, you know, with it not being in there, I'll buy it still because I love the game and the fighting engine, but it just doesn't have the same appeal to me as the
Dreamcast. But it's also $10.
Right.
You know,
right.
So that's the big thing, and I think, and I want to know because in the demo you can't change the settings. I want to know if you can stretch the screen because you can't even access the settings in the demo.
Nice.
I'm like, what the hell? I can't stretch the screen. Because it's got the bars on the side because it's not widescreen. But even though they tout, oh, it's got HD graphics, then why is it not widescreen?
Right.
So, but no, I just forgot how much I did like that game. And I played a little more of the Happy Tree Friends. And that shit's funny. It's tough. It's such a broken Lemmings. That's exactly what it is. It's a broken version of Lemmings. There's so many things wrong with it, but it's just so funny. And I did play a lot of Guitar Hero Aerosmith this week. I actually beat it on hard. And the note charts are a lot better than they were in 3. Like, they are not unfair. I didn't fail one thing on hard.
Nice.
Not one thing. I mean, Cat Scratch Fever is in the final tier. And it's not hard at all.
Right.
So, I mean, and even the boss battle, I beat it on the first try on hard. So, I'll probably go back and play through on expert just to see, but it is not a hard. It's not nearly as hard.
It's 3.
That's 3, because you think the last tier in 3 was like, hey, here's Raining Blood.
Right.
Here's 1 by Metallica.
Right.
You know, I'm going to kick your ass back and forth. But this one, I think the hardest song in this game is probably either Mama Ken or Train Kept Rolling.
Ugh.
Which is the last song.
For me not to play the game.
Is it?
That's the last song. Oh, it's Train Kept Rolling.
That means I can stop.
Well, you won't get the achievements then.
Yeah, that's true.
And here's another nice thing for the achievement junkies. You know, when you beat it on hard, you get medium and easy.
Nice.
You don't have to go back and play through those separately.
That's perfect.
Weird.
It's the first time it's ever happened in the Guitar Hero. You've always had to beat each difficulty individually. But these stack.
Well,
so
that's
you,
what it should be, though.
Why? If I can beat it on hard, I can obviously beat it on medium and easy, so why should I have to go back and play through it?
Because you got to suffer through it, and it's boring-ass easy and three-note crap.
I don't know. I'm very happy for that.
I mean, I'll take it if they're going to give it to me, but I'm just saying. It's just,
Rock Band does it, too.
Yeah.
Rock Band gave you all of them if you beat it, so...
I'm still going through it on hard because I keep unlocking songs, and I never want to play the ones that are actually in the story mode. So,
really, I come to find that I like a lot of the ones on the actual disc.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not saying I don't. I'm just saying it's like this week you got Working Man coming out for Rush. I'm just
even though it was already there, which is just awesome.
Huh?
Yeah. It was already there.
He went back and looked. There was a cover. It's a cover version now.
So what is this one? The original version?
Yeah.
So all the people that paid $2 for it initially are going to say, well, fuck you. You got to buy it again.
Right.
That's bullshit.
Yeah.
I didn't buy it the first time.
I know, but all the people that did. Anybody that liked Rush
would
have bought it the first time. Which I think I did buy it, so. Oh, look, you pay $2 more.
I think there needs to be some kind of refundage going on.
I think you just need to be able to download it. It should just replace the old one.
Yeah.
There's no reason for the old one to still be there. I saw that and I go...
Well, it's a Tuesday release, too, of all things, which...
It's always Tuesday.
Yeah, is it always Tuesday?
Yeah, it's always Tuesday. But I saw that and he was like, oh, look, there's a new Rush song this week. And I'm like, that one's already there. What? Why are you giving me another... Why are you giving me the same freaking song? Are you guys really running out of licenses? What the hell? But no, I think that's really all I did. All in, I bought, I cleaned out your final clearance sale.
Oh, yeah.
I bought Hitman Blood Money for, what was it, $15?
Yeah. On 360?
Yeah, and I bought The Godfather for $12.
Nice.
And I bought Need for Speed Carbon for $10 because I'd never played it. And I actually sat down and played it, and the first thing I said is this game ever fucking, like, does it save? Because, like, you start off and you do this little tutorial level. I'm like, okay, so now it's going to take me to my menu. No, it throws you into another race, teaches you how to do the how to use the helper cars. I'm like, okay, so now I can save.
Nope.
Then it throws you into another race. I'm like, what the fuck? Those cutscenes are awful.
Well, you on my turf. Are you racing out here? This is my turf.
And they look plastic.
Yeah.
They look like funny plastic people. They look CGI, but they're not.
I'm just waiting on the day that EA gives me back this plain old Need for Speed.
They tried that with the first 360 version, and it sucked. Most Wanted.
That still wasn't traditional, though.
Let me race Lamborghinis and Porsches and.
I don't want to drift
sports cars
and talk to
gangsters. I'm so sick of this drifting crap. This juiced and.
I still think that the Need for Speed 3 is the highlight of the series.
Hot Pursuit?
I love it.
That was a great... Only on the PS2, though.
I was talking about the GameCube version was the bomb.
Dude, the Xbox and GameCube versions were terrible.
Awful.
Well, Hot Pursuit. Right, the PS2 version was...
Yeah, the PS2 version was freaking amazing.
Yeah.
I still have that one.
I had the wheel for the PS2, and it controlled so well with the wheel.
I love Hot Pursuit 2 on the PS2. I actually had it for the Xbox, and I played it. And it wasn't a terrible game, but, man, it by comparison... The PS2 version just
smoked it. I'll tell you what, EA
needs
to do something with this Undercover game, because they're already losing fans like left and right, because I think Pro Street sold crap.
What do you expect? It's like Tony Hawk. Yeah. You just
and
you
so,
can only
and
do
with
the
Midnight
same
Club,
shit.
And with Midnight Club coming out in September, which a year and a half ago when I actually played an early version of it, was incredible.
Yeah.
They got their work cut out for them if they're going to keep their fan base. So.
No, I don't know. I really think... That's all I played this week. I played Turning Point for a little bit. I have maybe like 15 minutes total. Like 4 achievements. Alrighty then. So now, do you want to talk about Metal Gear?
Metal Gear, we can do that.
Talk about Metal Gear now?
Well, maybe we should do the news first.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I can sleep.
Alright, so now we're going to do the news. So, Mr. Wombat...
And now, News for Gamers Internet Star Radio Program proudly presents News Quiggies, brought to you by Boxer's Barrel Supply Company. Because whether you need some place to hide from a genetically enhanced PMC soldier or just a private place to shit yourself, Boxer's Barrel Supply's got you covered. Now your host, Zero Tolerance.
I like how it was named Boxer and he makes barrels.
Yeah, you like that?
It's good. It's good.
I'm glad you caught that.
That's the depth of comedy that you get from the N4G podcast radio.
All right, so the first piece of news that we pulled out this week was obviously with the 2.4 update or D-update, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
They've also talked about a thing called PlayStation Edge, which will allow you to accumulate points for your trophies and actually use them to buy stuff. Now, if this is true...
Yeah, I've heard...
I've heard they already debunked that.
Yeah, because actually PlayStation Edge is the name of their new development software.
Well, there you go.
So, but
I'm reading this from Killer Wolverine's news, so...
Well, like, it's...
Your
I don't
updated,
know if it
already,
debunked
news.
Well, I mean, it's only... It was throughout the week, so...
Right.
Well, it's useless anyway, though, right?
Yeah. So, you know, fuck him and stuff.
Wow.
But if they actually, if this is true, if it turns out to be true, I think that's pretty fucking
sweet.
Yeah,
they need to, I mean, it might, if they do something like that, that would be really, and that's what we all said that Microsoft should have done with achievement points a long time ago.
Here's the dilemma, though. Like, if if you get to spend your achievement points to buy stuff, does that mean you actually lose that achievement point on your score? Because then I'd have a total dilemma of whether or not to give up my score for free stuff.
Well, I think they should probably do a thing where when you get, like, if they're going to do it with Xbox Live, they should do a thing where for every, I don't know, 5,000 gamer score points you get,
you get like a dollar?
600 arcade points. Maybe that's a little much.
Or yeah,
maybe
you just buy Madden.
Maybe for every 10,000.
Or if you like get like 100 points, you can choose from different stuff you can buy, and for every other
or gamer pictures or something. You don't have to trade your points in for it, but each like tier unlocks a certain reward. I think would probably
for
be the best
each so
way
many
to do
points
it.
You get.
It's possible they're thinking of something like that, but I
That'd
don't know if it's
cool.
ever going to happen.
I think it causes online issues.
Yeah.
You think you're bad now, wait till you actually can get something for it.
Well, yeah.
You think people are cheating now.
That's why we need to do away with online achievements.
People are glitching Jordan
or at least.
Now. I mean.
Don't start with me. You know
Jordan glitcher.
Yeah. See, at least I was a big enough man to admit
it.
You did. See? All right. As we talked about, Mega Man 9 is exclusive to the WiiWare. So, if you do not have a Wii, you will not be playing Mega Man 9.
Boo.
Bastards.
Sucks.
Yay.
So, what you guys get for getting rid of your Wii?
Well, you know I'll get another one anyway.
I know.
Because you know they're going to announce
what are
Animal
you guys
Crossing
about?
Next
you're
week.
You're getting Bionic Commando Rearmed on the PSN and the Xbox Live Arcade.
It ain't no Mega
so it's not
Man.
Like, it's not like Capcom's not showing you no love.
I
they're just
play
not
Mega
showing
Man.
You
Bionic
Mega
Commando
Man
or
9
Mega
love.
Man.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, thanks for the choice.
Yeah.
I what about this? Man. The next PSP apparently to feature motion sensor and touchscreen?
Does not surprise me.
They named it after someone. Phil Harrison?
Phil Harrison, yeah. They
he doesn't even work there anymore.
Yeah, it's they're still rumbling and grumbling over whether it's the next PSP or whether it's going to be like a new phone or something.
There's still the some,
well, they said that the PSP is going to last 10 years, so if that's true, this ain't going to happen for a while.
Yeah.
All right, next up we got Big Rock Band 2 update. And before we even start talking about this, I want just to pose my opinion of worst idea ever to release a sequel to this game. It's a platform. That's what they've been saying since day one. This is a platform. The songs, blah, blah, blah. That's all you have to do is buy it once and then buy songs for the rest of your life. Then why are you releasing a retail disc-based sequel? So we can improve upon the original. We're going to give you better instruments. You mean ones that work? I'm very upset about this.
Yeah, there's a difference between better and functional.
Yeah. Well, and as a good thing, all the DLC from Rock Band 1 will work on Rock Band 2. But if you want to play the game, the songs from Rock Band 1, you have to swap discs. So, you have two Rock Band discs, even if you decide not to buy the new instruments. So, at this point, if you bought all three, Rock Band, Rock Band 2, and Guitar Hero 4, plus Guitar Hero 3, Guitar Hero 2, you have, like, a fucking roadie-size set of plastic instruments floating around your house.
Don't forget about Rock Revolution.
Nobody's buying that.
Nobody's buying Rock Revolution.
Don't kid yourself. And see,
I know I won't get it for free. I never got Metal Gear, but I got Hellboy for PSP. Thanks, Konami.
Yes. All
Konami.
Previously
That's right,
purchased...
I'll say it again. Fuck Konami.
Dang.
I don't care if you send me anything ever again. Fuck you. There you
go. You just brought a tear to someone's
eye. There's been a lot of anger on this, but I think we all just need to take a step back and breathe.
I got totally dissed from Konami. They kiss my
breathe.
Ass. I've been nothing but good to those guys. Yes, I gave McFarlane Evil Prophecies an F.
Dude,
but that
was McFarlane
it.
Evil Prophecies. That's the worst
Otherwise,
game
I've been
ever
really
played.
Good on time and all that. Yeah, then freaking... Yeah, anyway, that's another conference.
That's a whole nother podcast.
All right, moving on to more Rock Band news. As we said, all previous tracks will work.
Save
on the
it
new
for
one.
Gaming Ages podcast.
There's no need to repurchase or re-download. They will just work. This is apparently the biggest and most diverse soundtrack ever, featuring some of rock's most prolific acts, comprised entirely of master recordings, and from the CEO... It will focus more on female vocalists.
All two of them.
Yay. New online mode.
Good. Wow. That's a nice opinion of that.
New online online modes that will connect the entire Rock Band community in more ways than ever before. Both
ever.
Locally and globally. More variety of instrument choices than ever before, with new and improved drum and guitar peripherals, enhanced functionality, and innovative new designs that are fully compatible with the original Rock Band instruments.
In other words, hopefully there will be no need to buy the new ones.
Yes. And on top of that, it's going to be timed exclusive for Xbox 360.
What's the point of that?
Yeah, I don't understand the point in that either.
Microsoft paid big money to do this, but it's stupid anyway because it's Rock Band 2.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that was a dumb title to pay for timed exclusivity on.
Yep. Yeah.
Should have spent your money on Resident Evil. Well, unless they did and we just don't know it yet.
True that. Along with announcing Diablo 3... Blizzard also announced that StarCraft II will not be out this year, and is only a third of the way done.
Nice. Yeah, anybody should have expected
Blizzard
that.
Blizzard delayed a game. You're kidding. You're right. It's a typo, right?
No. I will say this, though.
2010.
Blizzard, when they finally do release a game, it's a top-tier quality title.
I think they're pretty much the only developer at this point that has a flawless track record. I can't think of a bad Blizzard game.
Yeah.
What was that 32X game they made?
I don't even remember.
Oh, man, you're
going
to have to go. Yeah.
If you had to go back to 32X, you might as well just forget about it.
Hey, I can dig.
It's the 32X. I mean, that was a failure in its own.
I can name you great 32X games.
Mortal Kombat 2.
Both of them.
Doom.
Star Wars.
Colibri. Tempo. Don't question my knowledge.
I ain't questioning nobody's knowledge. I'm
the Spider-Man game was terrible, though.
I don't remember a Blizzard game on 32X. I'm sure there was one, but I don't remember what it was.
What the fuck was that guy's name? There's like Thunderhawk or something like that? It was the Native American like 2D game?
Yeah.
What the hell was it called?
I remember.
You're not talking
Blizzard
about Blackthorn, are you?
Yes, Blackthorn.
Dude, Blackthorn was awesome.
Yeah. Really?
Yes.
Maybe you should go back and play it now.
I have gone back and played it now. I have it on Super Nintendo.
I thought Interplay did that.
They published it.
Well, yeah, Interplay published it. Blizzard made it. Interplay published a lot of Blizzard stuff.
Yeah, they did. Then they
early
did
on.
The what was the
Lost
Vikings?
Yeah. Blackthorn was awesome. Don't diss on Blackthorn ever
again. I just
did. Don't do it.
I still own it, bitch.
I do too, bitch.
Do you have a 32X?
No, I have.
Then you can't play it.
I have it on Super Nintendo, not 32X.
Oh,
dude. Oh. Blackthorn was awesome. Don't diss.
No way. All right. PS2 games are not coming to PSN, so saith Sony.
So saith Sony, and so it shall come to pass.
But I say that's a lie. I say they will eventually.
Yeah.
Eventually, but not right now.
Oh, and I love the Don't Stop Dreaming in there.
Don't Stop Dreaming.
Don't Stop Believing.
On July 15th, Rock Band will get a 12-song track pack of The Who.
Who? Nice.
The Who? Who's that? That joke's
Who's next?
Old.
It's a live CD, too.
Joke's old. Duke Nukem 3D will not be, or Duke Nukem Forever will not be at E3 because... Because
it ain't ever coming out.
3D Realms, Scott Miller said that E3 is irrelevant.
Dude, your game's irrelevant.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's 2008. Your game's irrelevant.
In other words, yes, it's coming out this year, but no, they don't want to show it at E3 because
right.
It's going to be a dud.
Because it's probably terrible.
Here is a nugget of Guitar Hero World Tour rumor.
Dun, dun, dun.
You can play as digital versions of Sting. Ozzy,
mm-hmm.
Ted Nugent,
the Nuge,
Billy Corgan,
ugh.
Jimi Hendrix, Travis Barker, Haley Williams.
Who is that?
I had to put it in parentheses over here. It's the from the band Paramore.
Oh, got gotcha.
And then I go, who's Paramore?
Oh.
And
wife
Zach
likes
Wilde
Paramore.
From Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Yeah. The birthday song.
Also, some unconfirmed...
You can play as Scorpions with instruments.
Yes. Some unconfirmed bands that would possibly show up in the game are Korn, The Doors...
anyway, skip all
the Doors.
The Doors.
Interpol, System of a Down, and... Tool? Finally?
I thought System broke up.
Ugh.
Doesn't matter if they broke up.
Dude, the doors are dead.
The doors are dead.
Jimi Hendrix is on there.
What's wrong with you?
He choked on his own vomit.
For God's sakes. Street Fighter 4 will be at Japanese arcades July 18th.
Sweet.
Yay. So fly to Japan, you can play it.
Yeah, and miss Dark Knight.
No.
Ooh.
Japanese don't care about Batman.
Yes, they do.
Batman
is extremely popular in Japan.
Metal Slug 7 is confirmed for the DS. I bet it'll be just like Metal Slug 1 through 6.
I bet you're right.
Valve said it will not show Half-Life 2 Episode 3 at E3.
Apparently. Because it's irrelevant?
No, it's probably because people would be like, is this episode 2? These games all look alike.
Oh. Oh, no.
Snap.
You just woke the beast.
Yeah, you don't want angry Valve fans calling you.
I'm only doing that because, you know, I have to give Half-Life shit for the boogeyman.
Right.
You know, I told you I was going to keep my Metal Gear comment alone, so you just better watch it. Watch your step here.
I didn't promise not to make fun of Gordon Freebird. What?
I think that one got debunked already.
Okay. The Star Trek one?
No, the Soul Calibur one.
Oh, no, I knew that. I wasn't going to say that. Right. Yeah, that's not true. It's actually a 2-gig install.
Right.
Yeah, I knew that. I deleted it from the one I posted. He didn't know that. It wasn't debunked until...
I'm just giving him a hard time.
Yes, we don't need to ignite the fanboys.
Your segment's irrelevant.
Although, I did hear that...
Useless.
I did hear that Kratos is not true.
Yeah, it's not true.
So...
That's been debunked
already.
Which
is kind of funny that EGM rumored it, and then EGM debunked it.
Right.
Amazing, isn't it?
How long ago did they
debunk it? Yeah, Quarterman's not
just
on his game
past
lately.
Week. Oh. No, he's not. Star Trek nerds. He references Professor Chaos. Cryptic Studios has a countdown clock on their website, which is counting down to July 26. What's happening on this day, you might ask? Star Trek Online, of course.
Wow, really?
That's what it says.
Man, I thought Star Trek Online was vaporware. Not that I really care about Star Trek.
It could be good, or it could be completely and utterly terrible.
Also, you may have heard that since the spring update did not come, there was a reason for it. Is that the 360 dashboard was getting an entire makeover. Probably show up sometime around E3, along with the introduction of, what's it called, My Gamepad?
My Gamerpad.
My Gamerpad.
My waste of time.
Activision is letting you decide the cover. Which, when I read this part of your news, I laughed because you word it. Activision is letting you decide which box art will ship with the game.
Oh, my bad.
Which game? It's Spider-Man Web of Shadows. You actually get to pick the cover.
Nice.
There's two choices.
Yeah, only two? Well, that's not much of a choice.
Let you hand draw your own cover.
He used to understand the way he wrote it. He's like the, you know, cover art. Activision's like, I need to pick the cover art for the game.
The game.
The game.
Because it's Spider-Man.
Yeah. When's that come out?
This fall.
With the free t-shirt when you reserve it.
The Top Gun theme. The Top Gun theme is online for Guitar Hero.
Nice.
Download that.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to talk about that.
Yeah. You don't have Guitar Hero anymore? Yeah, you can download that for free.
I enjoy playing through that. It was fun.
Although I might get it again since you can convert those over to World Tour as well. So, is that right?
No.
What they need to.
Nope. Then I'm not doing it.
What they need to work on getting on there is...
Highway to the Danger Zone.
That's what I thought we were getting logins, you know, and instead we get...
Instead we get the boring ass.
Yeah, the boring... I didn't like it.
That was a total mislead by IGN because I read it and it said, now you can... Take the highway to the danger zone with this download.
Yeah, I know, and it's not highway to the danger
Thanks,
zone.
Thanks, IGN.
Damn it. They just wanted to try to be funny and make a quip. Apparently, when you unlock a trophy in 2.4, it makes a noise.
Woohoo!
That would be the one I would choose.
What?
Like when I unlock it, woohoo!
That'd be an awesome.
Actually, every time I get one, I want it to go, oh yeah!
It'll bust through the wall. I read something. Somebody made a comment on the main page that I thought actually Sony should take into consideration, and actually Microsoft too. Although the achievement unlock sound has sort of become iconic,
yeah.
But I like the idea of different sound effects depending on the game that you unlock the achievement for.
Maybe they should do the old PlayStation logo.
Doom. Or what about the original PlayStation logo?
Oh, God. Oh, that was terrible.
And then the last thing is the DC Online game has a MySpace page, and it has some screenshots. It's not gone. Still coming. They only canceled the Marvel one because it's terrible.
Yeah,
shut up.
But, you know, DC has its own MySpace page. MySpace. Never mind.
Do you really want me to look on MySpace and see if Marvel has one?
No, they don't. They canceled it.
I'm talking about anything Marvel. I bet you Wolverine has his own MySpace page sponsored by Marvel.
I bet they do.
Yeah, I know they do. He's probably on your friends list.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
You don't even have a MySpace,
yeah,
do you?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, I
do. Do you really?
Yeah.
You, Mr. Anti-MySpace,
I didn't
actually
make
has
it.
A MySpace?
Yeah, I hate it, make it his girlfriend metaphor.
No. Oh, that's going to get me so much shit. No.
Like your girlfriend actually listens to this.
She might.
Dude, nobody listens to
this. You
don't
talk on it while she listens to it.
It's just like being at home.
We spent the last 2 years
you read your news.
Doing this podcast
you read your
and nobody's
news.
Fucking listening. What do you think your girlfriend going to listen now?
There you go. Anyway.
Anyway.
Then you have something else you want to throw in there?
Yes. For all you old school RPG fans out there, it has been announced.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It has begun.
Yes, it has begun.
And now for a taste of things to come.
Chrono Trigger.
Yes.
Is coming for the Nintendo DS.
And fail. Better be 2D fail. Sprites, not a 3D remake. Or
fail.
It's unknown if this is going to be a remake or a port.
Fail.
Better be
Why
a port.
Is it fail?
DS.
Oh, man. Look at you.
Dude.
Fail. Epic fail. I'm so sick of all these great franchises coming back on the wrong systems.
Man, the DS, the sales figures. Yeah, there's a lot of people that own the DS.
We're not going to get into this conversation about if something sells makes it a good game, because I'll debunk that in a fucking heartbeat.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that it will sell a ton.
Well, what would you like it on?
Let me ask you a question. If you had your choice of how to play Chrono Trigger, what would you want it on?
Would you want it on
DS, or would you rather have it in HD glory built on like the PlayStation 3 or the 360? What would you rather have? Would you rather have Final Fantasy 13 on the DS?
No.
Thank you. I've just thrown that out there.
Well, it depends on the level of the remake. I mean, if it's going to be just updated sprites, then it doesn't really matter because it's not going to be on a disc anyway if they put it on PlayStation Network or Xbox Live.
Would you rather play it on your TV or the tiny DS screen?
I don't know. It just depends.
Well, I mean,
I'd rather not play it.
Oh.
Look at you. Takes his headset off in the middle of the podcast and just puts it back on to make that comment.
Hold on. He's putting it back on.
I thought this wouldn't spark a conversation because it's an RPG, so I thought it was just announced. We move on.
Well, then.
Yeah. I was just asking that logical question of, like...
I enjoy RPGs, and I loved Chrono Trigger, so...
You know what? I liked Chrono Trigger, and I like Chrono Cross. That's not the point here. The point is, you know, I'm so sick of all these great... I would have loved Contra 4. Why couldn't I play that on a system? Like, you know, what about the people that don't play handhelds?
What about Mega Man 9 in that respect, too?
It's on a console.
It's on Wii!
I don't care, it's on a console. I play it on the TV.
I have 360 and a PS3, but release it on that.
I'm not talking about it as in, like, I can't have the system to play it, it's just that I would rather play it on my TV.
Whatever.
I just asked you a question. I'm bitter because I'm tired of all these remakes and sequels and stuff coming to handhelds instead of for both.
Thing is, I mean, we could carry this conversation, but would have to debunk the Metal Gear discussion just about.
No, we don't have to continue. You can just go on with
can
it.
We not
I just want to make a point.
Continue this conversation.
Thing is, I mean, yeah, it's coming out for DS. It's not coming out for any television console system. Sweet. But despite that fact, it's still going to sell like hotcakes, and it's still going to be a great, fantastic game that I could play while laying in a freaking recliner chair and just looking straight up at my DS.
Cool. Excellent.
And I'll still be having fun.
I meant epic fail for me. I didn't mean the game wasn't going to sell.
Okay, yeah.
I'm not retarded.
That's okay.
The R word's making a big comeback on the
N4G
podcast.
Yeah, but you know, let that one. Yeah. All right, so now we're going to talk about...
Metal Gear.
I was trying not to say it.
Right. Well, it's just three of us, apparently.
That's true. Everybody else took their headsets off.
Yeah, there's three of us for this discussion. Okay.
So
okay,
why don't you
now,
shut, as you should.
For all of you that are listening, from this point forward...
this is pretty much going to be the rest of the show. We're not going to do questions this week. So.
Right. So if you don't want to hear Metal Gear spoilers, you can just
shut it off now.
Shut it off now. Thanks for listening. Yeah. Do a bagok real quick.
There you go. Now you can officially leave.
There you go. Okay, now Metal Gear Solid 4, Guns of the Patriots. So tell me, do you think Meryl was actually in love with Vamp?
Meryl. Why would Meryl be in love with Vamp? Are you sure you played the right game?
You mean Naomi?
crap.
I just broke the world.
Yeah, everybody's like, what? What did I miss?
Okay.
Was there a cutscene that I missed?
Yeah, Naomi. Do you think Naomi was actually in love with Vamp?
I don't know.
It's hard to say.
It's possible, I guess, but...
Because right before he fought Vamp, that cutscene...
Right.
Where she freaking reaches around his front section and grabs his knife. I mean, that's almost symbolic of, like,
her relationship
with him. You know, that's messed up because, you know, Vamp is just... He's like a monster.
Right.
You know?
She may have been.
That part kind of disturbed me, you know, and... it disturbed me because it almost portrayed her as kind of a... you know, she would, you know, sleep... okay, this is spoiler alert territory right here, so... Yeah. When she sleeps with Otacon. Yeah, which is a big spoiler right there. Never saw that one coming.
You seem to be obsessed with the sex spoilers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she was dying anyway.
It's the whole relationship thing. Is Naomi the type of girl who will just sleep with anybody, you know, just to get her way and make her plans, you know, fulfilled, you know? That's what I'm wondering.
Oh, no, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say maybe. I mean, then again, like I said, and not just as a joke, she was dying anyway. So, I mean, she probably at that point just decided that she would do just about anything to make sure that the whole thing went through. And
her,
she doesn't, I mean,
plans.
Like, you know, Solid Snake crawled through the microwave oven
hallway because,
you know, he knew that at the end was the end, and that he needed to get it done, and she doesn't, you know, have a sneaking suit or the ability to crawl through a microwave oven, so she used her feminine charms to get her stuff done.
Yeah, and that was pretty messed up how Vamp basically essentially killed himself. And it's almost like, because Otacon, you know, he was wanting to see Vamp brought to justice, either that or avenged for the death of his sister. He really kind of didn't get it, you know. It was kind of like an avenge that was not fully fulfilled.
Right.
So, and then right after that, the whole... Naomi dying, it just brought the whole game into almost a dark, depressing stage,
right.
You know?
Well, there's a recurring theme in all the Metal Gear games of humanity over technology.
Yeah.
And there's characters like Gray Fox in the first one, Vamp and Raiden, actually, in this one, who have become, quote-unquote, more machine than man. You know, Gray Fox obviously was literally more machine than man. Vamp had all the nanomachines keeping him alive, and Raiden was sort of half and half. And all of them wanted to die because they were more machine than man.
Yeah.
So there's kind of that recurring theme of, you know, I hope I can find someone who can kill me. So in that respect, it was the one thing that I noticed during the whole Vamp fight was how incredibly similar the fight with Vamp was to the fight with Gray Fox in the first Metal Gear Solid. Like the two fights are very, very similar in that, you know, they both involve a decent amount of hand-to-hand combat. They both there's a trick, quote unquote, to beating them both, and they both, you're being taunted the whole time by the person telling you to kill them. So I thought that was pretty cool that they parallel each other very well, those two fights do.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point right there.
So
just a good conversation. Sorry, what was your favorite act?
What was my favorite act? That's a pretty tough one because I really like Act 2.
I really loved Act 2.
Yeah,
Act 2 was cool.
Act 2 would probably be my favorite act out of the whole game. Act 3, I did not like the beginning of it, but I loved the last half of it.
See, yeah, I'm exactly the opposite. I actually, in Act 3, I liked the whole following the guy through the city because it was a very good change of pace from Act 2.
That's for sure.
I like that part. And actually, I'll probably catch some flack for this because it seems to be the complete opposite opinion of everybody else. But I actually was a little disappointed in the motorcycle chase at the end of Act 3. I didn't think it was – because I had read people talking about it before I played it, saying it was really cool. So I was really looking forward to it. And then I got to it, and it was a little – I don't know.
I think it's mostly just the way it's done. Like the experience of it, like the cinematography and everything of how it looks is what people are more impressed with, because the actual mechanic of it's not – it's not anything special.
Yeah.
So
– it wasn't fully realized. Right. Probably
no, it's just the way it was presented and the way you saw it, like an interactive movie, was kind of cool.
Yeah, it was literally like a movie, motorcycle chasing – that you could actually control,
right?
Like the aiming of the Snake firing his weapon. But that was really incredible. I also loved the ending of Act 2. The chase, the armored vehicle chasing. Right.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I like that part quite a bit too. Actually,
and the game actually has zombies.
Right.
I mean, they're not the traditional undead zombies, but they're these soldiers, you know, on nanomachines.
Right.
Put in basically zombie mode.
It kind of has undead zombies, too, at the end with Mantis when she's controlling the dead frogs.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah, that's true. So, there you go. I mean, this game really literally had everything in the kitchen sink thrown into it. And on top of that, some obscure other things that you wouldn't even think of, you know.
I think actually Act 4 was my favorite.
Act 4 was my favorite simply because when you start off, it does that flashback and lets you play the original Metal Gear Solid.
I like that.
And then he wakes up, oh, I had that dream again. Right. But then when you get to the actual Shadow Moses base, it plays that song from the ending of part 1. And you just get that reminiscent. And if you played the first one as much as I did, you will notice that place is laid out
exactly the same.
Same. Detail for detail, it's exactly the same as the original Shadow Moses Island.
Yeah.
It's just the incredible attention to detail. I didn't like the fact that the only enemies in there were those geckos and the roly things. I didn't like that.
Right.
I wanted to fight more soldiers, and then there were some real frustrating parts, but the boss battle, see that boss battle, Crying Wolf, was my second favorite boss battle as far as the beauties go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Laughing Octopus is harder if you play her on the harder difficulties.
Right.
Because she'll actually disappear and you gotta put on your thermal vision and go find out where she's hiding. Raging Raven, it was just a neat battle.
Right, like because of the
being
tower.
On the tower, but it was easy.
Right.
Crying Wolf was sweet because you could actually track her.
Right.
You could actually follow her footprints and stay downwind and actually track her, which was very cool.
The thing, and I actually mentioned this on a couple podcasts ago, but I didn't say anything because it was a spoiler, quote unquote. I was actually one of the, if I had a little sheet, one of the little disappointment ticks in the game would be most of the beauty boss battles, the B&B core boss battles.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, the first couple, Octopus and then Raging Raven, there was no trick to beating them.
No, you just
find them, shoot the crap out of them, and then they die. You know, that the thing about the Metal Gear bosses is that there was always some really creative way to beat them. And, you know, it turns into that towards the end. But the first couple bosses are just, I don't know, pretty disappointing to me. So
yeah, it really is, except for the vamp fight. The vamp fight was a little different.
During the vamp fight, I liked.
After the vamp fight is where I got upset, was where I had to watch Raiden and vamp go crazy at it, and with the knife fight and the sword fight, and I had to just shoot geckos.
Right.
You know, and I'm sitting there going,
that part was frustrating.
I wanted to watch it, or at least play it, and I couldn't do either.
Right. That design decision, the whole split screen thing,
worked at the end when you're crawling through the hallway.
And Raiden's kicking everybody's ass.
Because you really didn't have to pay attention to Snake crawling in the hallway. No. All you had to do was keep tapping the button and, you know, make sure he was steering towards the middle, and you could watch what was going on up top. But the Raiden vamp fight, it was so intense trying to keep those geckos from blowing up in your face that you couldn't really pay attention to what was going on the right. And I didn't like that design decision, at least for that part.
It's like it pulled a, if you're familiar with the horror movie Carrie,
yeah,
it kind of pulled a Carrie where the screen splits and you see two different things at the same time,
right,
which is very, very obscure way of doing a video game scene.
Right. You can do that with a movie because you can kind of, you can just pay attention to both. But when you actually have to focus and control and everything on the left side, there's no way to pay attention really what's going on to the right.
Yeah.
So I didn't like that that decision.
Yeah. What about the final act? We talk about this because I know that I had a huge problem with the ending, part of the ending. And I know you had a huge problem with it. I don't know how you felt about the hell.
Well, Act 5, to me, was basically, it kind of felt like the last stage of a lot of games I play, which is the very last area is short, but extremely difficult. And then the last part of it is you fight a boss here, and then you fight a boss there, and then that's the end.
Right.
It's pretty much how it was. I mean, you're basically on that ship, the Outer Haven, custom build of the arsenal gear type of vehicle, and you're inside of it. So I was assuming that it wasn't going to be that huge structure, and it really wasn't. It was basically a giant one way ticket to the final cutscene,
right,
if you will.
Actually, I like the first part of Act 5, where you're kind of trying to get to the door to open it.
Yeah.
Because that was actually one of it's sad to say this because it's a Metal Gear game, but it's really one of the few times when, unless you're trying to go for a specific emblem or whatever, that it actually was much faster and much easier to sneak through than to go in guns a-blazing. Because there were a lot of places in the game that seemed like they were kind of built for you to sneak through, but it was quicker and easier to just go blasting through. And the last, if you try and go blasting through that last part, or the first part on Act 5, you're going to get owned. Because there's geckos everywhere, there's frogs everywhere.
Yeah, you have to go about it really slowly.
Right.
Well, unless you yank out the railgun.
Well, I had actually even the 50 caliber sniper rifle, which puts down just about everything in one shot. Geckos go down in three with it. And even then, you get swarmed by so many things that it's so much easier if you just sneak your way through and get to the door and just tap or triangle as fast as you can to get in. So I really liked the first part of Act 5, and then it just kind of, I don't know, I was very disappointed in parts of Act 5. I was somewhat disappointed in the Screaming Mantis fight, just because it seemed, the whole shooting her puppets thing seemed kind of obvious to me. I did, though, like what we were talking about, where you actually tried to switch the controller port.
Yes.
I did, too,
because I listened to Zero. He told me that during that fight I should try to switch the control port.
I actually, before all the boss fights, I always call Otacon and Rosemary just because I like to see what they had to say, because it usually gives a little more background on the character or whatever. And when you call Rosemary right when the fight starts, Campbell says, "Remember what happened when you fought Psycho Mantis? Switch the controller port."
And Rosemary says, do you see any controller ports? She's like, you're going to have to do something a lot more than just pressing the PS button and changing it to controller 2 to beat Screaming Mantis. So I knew that that wasn't it. And then I remembered them saying, you know, something about her using the nano machines to control everybody. So I used the little serum thing or whatever. But it the disappointing part, that wasn't disappointing to me. Because like I said, I like the clever little things that you have to do in boss battles in Metal Gear. What was disappointing to me was that once you grab her doll, you shoot her once, hold L1 and shake it, and she dies. Like that. Like, quote, like that.
Depending on which doll you choose.
Right. Well, I grabbed the Mantis doll. And if you have the Mantis doll, all you have to do, you hold L1, you hit R1, and it shoots at her. And as soon as it hits her, you just keep holding L1, and you shake the six axis back and forth.
Yeah.
And it, like, bounces her on her strings, and she literally died in, like, 3 seconds.
Yeah.
So,
but it's figuring out that you have to do that.
Right.
That, that
right.
gets you to that point, so, because right. once you figure it out, she's the easiest boss in the
right.
game.
Right.
Yeah. So did you get both dolls?
I did not.
Yeah. See, if you get both dolls, you can actually, like, the Sorrow doll, you can use it on enemies from then on out, and it just makes the game cake.
Really?
But there's not that many enemies left in the game.
Right.
But then you can go back and play through
right.
and use the Sorrow yeah. doll, which is awesome.
See, I picked up both dolls. So,
And then, like, the whole, I'll let you talk about Act 5 first, and then we can talk about the...
Well, see, my favorite part about Act 5 was I love this the Screaming Mantis fight because it took me back to the with the re of Psycho Mantis popping
right.
up on the screen afterwards, and then
right.
them mentioning that you could see him earlier in the game
right.
when he was basically controlling all the Beauty and the Beasts, which
right.
which was awesome to me, and then him coming out and you know like you said we have different experiences depending on if you have a DualShock or not.
Right.
If you don't have a DualShock, he goes ah no rumble, you know, and he actually knows that there's no rumble.
Right.
But then when he did it on mine, he's like, ha, Rumble is back, and he shows a picture of the controller from the PlayStation 1, the DualShock,
right.
and then he also shows the PlayStation 1 system when he looks at your memory card, and he can't find anything, which
yeah.
is just, which was just, like, it was such fan service,
right.
that part of the
yeah.
game was.
I did enjoy it. I liked that a lot, because the Mantis fight was my favorite boss battle from
yeah. Mine,
the
it
first
was my,
Metal Gear Solid.
That was my favorite, so. That's my favorite boss battle of all Metal Gears for me, I think,
yeah.
is the Mantis fight, just because it's so clever. And it's done so well.
Right.
But even after you switch to controller port 2, he became just as easy as Screaming Mantis
right,
was.
Right, right,
so, but my favorite part of Act 5 outside of that was easily the fist fight. Because that was one of the biggest things from Metal Gear Solid. And playing through 4, I kept wondering, well, if we do have this fist fight, how am I going to do it?
Right.
Because in the first game, you had, like, a melee button.
Right.
Which was a circle button. You would just push it, and he would do, like, a 3-hit combo.
Right.
Well, in this one, you don't.
Yeah.
You don't really have a melee button. You have your close quarters combat, but you don't have a physical melee button. So the way they did it, I imagine like fighting games taking some of that, like the way the presentation was, like
right.
when you'd punch somebody, it would pan out
right.
and show them slamming their head into the wall or something. It was so dynamic the way it interacted with the level
yeah.
and the way it moved around, and I just love that. And how the music would change.
Right.
Like after each one of the big things happened in the fight, it would be like, doo doo. You know, it would come on and you would just be punching the sh- and that some of the most painful
looking
like
punches,
hits
yeah.
man.
I love
oh,
the
yeah.
I love the when you both throw a punch at the same time and they
the
both
slow
get
motion
hit in the jaw. Yeah, that was really cool. And I actually I loved the when Ocelot is Ocelot, the very last section of
yeah.
this fight. And he grabs you and wraps his arm your arm around your back and you like he starts to hit you in the head and you elbow him in the ribs at the same time, that's very cool looking.
Yeah, that fight was so dramatic and just the way it was presented.
The only thing about that fight, and it actually, it's a recurring disappointment in the entire game for me, actually, but it really shows its head. Like, it's very easy to see in the actual fist fight. And it's sort of a recurring theme in the entire series as a whole, not just this game, is that the fist fight, while awesome, is drug out way too long.
It really was.
It like they. I understand the whole progression from Liquid to Liquid Ocelot to Ocelot, but the fist fight is just drug out way too long. And you know it's basically you know wait for him to attack,
punch, 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 but it takes way too long for his health to go down.
Yeah.
So to me, it was just, like I said, it was an awesome fist fight. And if it would have just been, you know, through the two, like through Liquid and through Liquid Ocelot, it would have been awesome to me, like completely perfect. But that extra little time there to me just made it drag a little too long.
Yeah.
So, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah.
And you want to talk about things dragging on.
Oh, God.
That ending.
The ending.
See, I loved everything before the credits. I know you didn't enjoy it as much, but I liked all the stuff they wrapped up, like going back and showing what happened to Raiden.
Right.
Showing him that Rosemary was, you know, was still with him, and this was his baby, and the kid looked just like him. And the fact they called him Little John was just ridiculous.
Yeah! What?
But I like that. I like the sunny Otacon ending, although Otacon's outfits are killing me with that big trench coat and whatever. He looks ridiculous. But I like that ending. And the only part of that I didn't care much for, we didn't even talk about the Meryl Akiba falling in love, shooting people.
Yeah.
Which
was... That, to me, was the epitome of something that went on too long.
It did go on too long.
It was cool, and I like the whole concept behind it.
Yeah, it was really cool.
But it just went too freaking long.
Yeah.
It is just, like, it stops, it loses its novelty after a while. So, but I did like that part.
I agree with that. That was an interesting scene.
But the only part of the ending before the other ending that I felt like was just dragging on was the part where Drebin started giving you his history.
Yes.
Where he was getting drunk.
Yeah.
And he just was giving you his whole history. And I'm like, you know, I like Drebin, but I really am not interested as much in what he's saying right now.
Yeah.
Because he just keeps going on. He's like, there will always be business for me and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I don't really care. I really don't.
Right.
I liked what he said about how the UN is basically just
like the Patriots.
Just like the Patriots, you know. I thought that was a pretty, you know, historical revenants, you know, with real life. And another thing about the ending that kind of, like, threw me off was when Meryl was getting ready for her wedding. And Roy Campbell comes in, and he turns around, and she's freaking pointing a gun at him. And I was like, holy crap.
Why is she wearing a gun on her wedding dress?
I know, that was a big question.
Weird. I was just like, and I was like, what, she's going to shoot him? And then she's like, you're going to walk me down the aisle. And I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of needlessly
overdramatic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, one scene that did go on for a long time, but I don't feel like it ever dragged on, was the end of Act 3 with the Guns of the Patriots thing. Liquid stands up on the boat. He's like, bang!
That's a perfect example. And this is, I was going to save this for a little later, but the one thing, like I said, this also is a recurring theme in the Metal Gear series, and it's, you know, as much as I respect Kojima for everything that he's done and the story that he crafted with the Metal Gear series, the one flaw that he has is that apparently no one ever told him the old communication staple of less is more. Because the constant repetition it starts to grate on me after a little while. And the first one wasn't as bad about it. And I think that's why I like the first one the best. Because from two on, it's like, it's not enough for them to say CQC one time. They have to say CQC seven times. And it's not enough for, you know, Big Boss to tell, to say something about Zero one way. He has to say the same thing a different way. And it's not enough for this character to tell, you know, this character one thing. They have to tell him the exact same thing in a different way.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of repetition, and it makes the for one thing, it sort of lends itself to one of the criticisms that Metal Gear's always had is that the cutscenes have been a little like melodramatic and cheesy, and that's part of the reason why, is because there's a lot of saying the same thing only fancier. And the thing about the cutscene at the end of Act 3 is there wasn't any of that. It was all, like, the story that was there was very well done. There was no repetition.
Yeah.
And the action was perfectly paced in that cutscene. And the whole, like, even the camera angles, when he raises his hands, bang, was just perfect.
And when he started shooting, like, he was like, bang, 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 bang. And then you see the machine gun bullets coming. And you're like, but at that point, I'm like, I swear to God, if there are bullets coming out of his fingers, I'm going to throw this game. I swear to God.
Right. But, and that, I think that's one of the reasons why I was so disappointed in the end of the game, was because the cutscene at the end of Act 3 was so perfect that I was hoping the end would be the same way.
Yeah,
it was sort of disappointing.
They made Liquid Ocelot into being, like, so powerful that the whole entire infrastructure of the world was almost within his actual body.
Right.
Because of his nanomachine activity,
right.
How he was basically linked up with the Guns of the Patriot system.
Right.
You know, and how, you know, he was almost the world's infrastructure.
Right.
So, and then at the end of the game, it's just a fist fight.
Right.
So, I mean, that didn't really even come into play, which, I mean, that I don't know how it could have been done.
Right.
For it to come into play, but, you know, I was expecting a little bit more.
Right. And part of that, too, is the whole, you know, the fall of Liquid from, you know, or the rise and fall of Liquid from genetically enhanced soldier to complete and utter, like, just God almost, all the way back down to human again. But I really, the only thing about Act 3 that I was a little disappointed in is I would have liked for, during that cutscene, there have been a small playable section, even where, like, maybe you're trying to shoot Liquid and you can't while he's doing the thing, just because I think it would have added a little more immersion to it. But that, oh man, that cutscene was awesome.
That's also the part where you get to see Big Boss's supposed body burned in the flames,
which
Snake gets burned.
The graphics for that scene of, you know, the supposed big boss's corpse.
Right.
The graphics were incredible.
Right. And even just before then, when Akiba gets out of the water and he's doing, like, the mouth-to-mouth on Meryl, the graphics were phenomenal.
Oh,
phenomenal.
Yeah.
So, but, I mean, then again, it helps that they didn't have any real background to render, so they could focus all of that on the character models, and it just looked phenomenal.
The character faces in that game still blow my mind.
Yeah.
Like, immediately when I see them, it's just ridiculous how real they look and how their mannerisms are. And it's not just the visual, it's also the animation and everything. It's just, it's freaking amazing.
Yeah, there's a part in the very beginning of Act 3 where Solid Snake is getting off of the commuter train, and he meets up with Meryl, and they're having a discussion, and Meryl gets pissed off at Snake.
Right.
And it's a real close-up shot of her face when she's pissed off at him. For a split second, I thought that was a real person.
Yeah.
And I was just like, whoa, that could be a real person, you know. It looks almost real. Because it's almost like you can see, like, pain and anguish, like, in her eyes.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, we can't finish the show without at least talking about the ending.
Yes.
The ending, which...
The ending.
When the credits start rolling, and I have to say that when the camera came back in, I was kind of hoping that he was dead, because it would have been so dramatic that this is his last mission, he's dead. I'd rather him died in the microwave, but then there wouldn't have been all that other stuff that went on.
Right.
But then to see Big Boss pop up on the screen, I was just like, holy shit. Holy shit, he's still alive. How is he still alive? That excited me. But then, man, seriously. Just die.
Yeah.
I was sitting there watching it the whole time going, why won't you die?
Right, and that's, like I said, that's a perfect example of a phenomenal cutscene ruined. Well, not ruined, I guess, but hurt severely by it dragging on too long.
Yeah.
Because if it had just been...
you know, up to when the first time you thought he was going to die, when he collapsed against the, like, headstone.
And he lit the cigar.
Right.
And it would have fell out of his mouth.
Right.
That would
have been it. That would have been it. That would have been fine. But when they drag it on even longer, it's like, come on.
I did like the scene where he salutes the grave.
Yeah.
And his hand is, like, shivering.
Shaking. Yeah.
And I thought that was so dramatic.
Right.
I was like, oh, man, that's like a labor of love scene. And then, you know, when you could hit the button and you see young Big Boss,
right.
He was saluting in the exact same way. I thought that was really awesome.
Right.
And if you go back and you dig through the Metal Gear Solid database, you will be amazed at how many different things were like. Like, the whole biblical reference really got me in Act 3.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It was Adam and Eva.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. And you bit the forbidden fruit, blah, blah, blah. She is the mother of liquid and solid snake,
right.
You know.
And the whole snake part, you know, in the Garden of Eden.
Right.
You know?
Well, you do know that Adamska, was Ocelot. He was the other covert agent working. And the Eva that bore the children was not even the same Eva that was supposed to be the other agent. That's a different agent. So it's there's a lot in there.
Right.
Yeah, I also really enjoyed the religious reference in Act 3 and the artwork.
Yeah.
In the like we see the artwork in the church that they're in the chapel and how it actually reflects what she's actually talking about in terms of all the characters in the Metal Gear saga, and I just thought that was very interesting. Very interesting. And also some of the artwork that they did for some of the flashback scenes, not the interactive flashback scenes, but when they're talking about certain characters, like there'll be a hand-drawn like flashback. The one that struck me the most, which was incredible, I loved it, and they only show it for about two to three seconds, was when they mention Gray Fox.
Yeah.
And then you see, like, a hand-drawn of the Cyber Ninja.
Right.
And it looks like it's, like, you know, his cybernetic helmet, and you see his, like, hand, and his hand looks like almost like a skeleton hand intermixed with the cybernetic hand. And it had, like, just so much detail.
Right.
And it actually is, like, animating and everything. And you only see it for like 2 to 3 seconds, and there's like just so much detail there. You just, I just wanted to look at it for a little bit longer,
right?
But then it, you know, it just goes away,
right?
And I was like, man, that was an awesome drawing, you know.
I really, I was really hoping for, just because of all the fanboy service and everything, I was really hoping for a Gray Fox as Cyber Ninja sighting when you're at Shadow Moses. Not even alive, but like it would have been cool if he would have come across, you know,
maybe
Gray Fox's body in the that hangar where he got crushed by.
Well, you
Metal
do
Gear.
Know that if you collect the Sorrows doll and you have the camera, you can get ghost pictures on Shadow Moses.
Oh, can you? Really?
You can take pictures around Shadow Moses, and sometimes ghosts of the people that were there will appear in the images.
See, that is an awesome homage. Attention to detail.
There's a lot of things to go back and do in the game, which is just huge.
Yeah. The other thing too that was these are all just nagging little disappointments, but the flashback thing. When they said that you were gonna be able to hit a button and have a flashback to a previous Metal Gear, I was like, wow, that's really cool. That's a great idea. But I don't like the way they did it. Like I don't personally like the, you know, 1 second still picture flashback thing that
you
they
wanted
kept doing.
Like a little...
I wanted like an actual, like you hit the X button and it, you know, sort of pause the cutscene or maybe drift around and show an actual flashback from the first game or the second game or the third game and then come back in.
That would have been really sweet.
So, but, I mean, I can understand why they didn't do it that way because it wouldn't have blended in with the cutscenes that they have
make
now.
Make the cutscenes like even longer.
Right. Well, and not to mention, if you flash back to Metal Gear 1, Metal Gear 2, Metal Gear 3, the graphics are going to look terrible compared to.
Well, like when you
4.
Come back from the dream, you're
right.
Like, oh.
Yeah. So,
or not just that, but if you flashback to the original Metal Gear that was made on the MS, I think
right.
it's the MSX system. Talk about contrast there.
Right. So, but other than that, I mean, I think we can all agree that the game was phenomenal.
One of the best experiences I've had in a long time, and I'm being a big fan as I am, I'm very happy with the way it played out.
Yeah.
Small quirks aside, it's easily so far my favorite game of the year, and it will be very hard to top it.
Like I said, it's still. I said that I would have to beat the game before I could say whether it was my favorite in the series. Now that I've beat the game, it's still not. Metal Gear 1 is still my favorite in the series.
Oh, yeah.
But it's definitely number 2. And like I said, if they would have cut down some of the stuff a little bit, I think it probably would have been number 1. But like I said, it perfect example was the big boss cutscene. When he first showed up, like, it almost gave me chills. It was so cool.
Yeah.
But then by the end of it, I just wanted it to be over.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't intriguing me anymore. I wanted it to be over.
Like, it's like when Big Boss first steps into the ending, you're like, oh, my God, he's still alive. How could he be alive? You know, you're just going crazy, you know.
Right.
But then by the time he actually finally dies, it's almost like some dude that I don't know.
It doesn't have the same impact.
It's like you almost know him as a person.
Right.
By the time and you're just like, man, shut up already. Die.
Just die.
So. But like I said, I did love the part where he salutes,
right?
Where he does the salute to the grave. I thought that was really awesome. How just the animation of like his trembling hand because he's dying,
right?
And also kind of like the part where he was slumped over, about ready to die, and Solid Snake
lights
a cigar.
Yeah.
I thought that was awesome. But the whole explaining every little thing. I thought that could have been cut down considerably.
Yes.
All right. So
there we go.
That wraps up the Metal Gear Roundtable. Next week we will have E3 predictions. This should be a very interesting show. Look forward to that. But that's it for this week, and we're going to get out of here. So, Mr. Khan, if you would be so kind.
Okay. Since this was the Metal Gear segment, I go, Bagok.
I see skies blue.
Oh shit.
Oh shit. Oh shit. Oh shit. I just dropped my microphone. Oh my god.
Random oh my god.
Everybody has to do that this week. You want to practice that? Come on. Okay.
Dude, it'll never get better than that. Wow, that was like a screaming chicken. That should be a boss in the next Metal Gear.
That was the screaming chicken. Justin took up the bubble.